Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You don't even have your headphones on.
You don't even have your microphone on.
You missed the pre-show.
Buzz is late.
You know, that's our little test.
Buzz is late.
Happy Monday.
You know what you are, Smarty Jones?
What's that? There you go.
Smarty Jones. That's what you are, Smarty Jones. Smarty Jones. Nice horse.
Always look to your right, jockeys.
Mm-hmm.
Always look to your right.
Nice horse.
Didn't work out.
Smart bet. I had two bets this weekend. First, I bet Ronald Reagan was going to make it through the weekend, and then I bet Smarty Jones is going to win.
Wow.
And both of them, you came up short.
When's the last time something from Philadelphia has let us down?
That's right. And that old guy, I felt kind of bad for him.
Which guy?
Reagan? No, not Reagan.
Smarty Jones guy.
Oh. The Smarty Jones guy. Come on.
You meant Tom Hanks.
Come on.
That old guy.
Hey, listen, let's take a moment. Let's take a Wayne Newton moment. Shall we take a moment with Mr. Showbiz before we start this show?
A Wayne Newton moment, ladies and gentlemen.
We'd have fist fights, and I'd end up at the short end of that stick. I took up karate because I wanted to kill my brother.
Oh.
I was that angry.
Wayne feared he was going to have a nervous breakdown. His weight swelled to 275 pounds.
Oh, my.
The more frustrated I became, the more I ate. And I didn't even realize I was eating. I wasn't eating to live. I was just eating because it took my mind off of the things I didn't want to think about.
Wow.
Wanted to kill his brother.
Karate. I took up karate because I wanted to kill my brother.
I will like these tapes from my car, please, for further study.
And today, listen, rather than, and there are some great groaners here today.
Groaners!
Yeah. Groaners. I think we'll just use, not even a groaner. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Oh, before this, though, surreal. Yeah. When I'm watching the Reagan stuff on TV about an hour ago, mm-hmm. before the show, and they announced that one of the pallbearers, at least for this phase of his tour through America, would be Merv Griffin.
Merv,
and,
thank God.
And indeed, sitting directly, if Nancy Reagan was the center square,
right?
Merv is upper right as they are sitting.
Merv Griffin sitting
upper right at the Reagan thing.
Wow.
And he's going to be a pallbearer.
I didn't know that he was that close to the family.
No, nor did I. I mean, they're saying, and the pallbearers will be, you know, General Buzz Burbank, Private Robert Spiewak, and noted entertainer called Merv Griffin.
Merv Griffin.
I think they selected him because of his extreme upper body strength. You got to shoulder the load.
Merv's been out of sight for a while.
Sure you has. Saw him most recently, I think.
Yes, I.
At the mall, right?
Yes, at a mall in Palm Springs, taking karate to kill his brother. Now, after a spirited round of tennis.
And Merv has ballooned way past 275.
Yes. I ate to take my mind off my problems.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
Hello, Wayne.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon. Do you have some groaners for us?
Only one, not even a groaner.
All right.
Ronald Reagan is dead from Alzheimer's. Ironically, his memory lives on.
Wow.
That's from the DJ joke sheet.
I kind of liked it, actually.
Dear. That's from the DJ joke sheet.
Oh, dear.
The band Creed is breaking up.
Are they, Mr. Shannon?
Yes, Mr. Drysdale.
Yes, Milburn Drysdale.
That's okay. I like them anyway the first time better, when they were known as Pearl Jam. Hey, well, that's one that the DJs can use.
Yeah, like one of your inside little music, too.
To relate. Yeah. Send that one over to WHFL.
Yeah, it's nice to know that hip jokes can also suck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Ronald Reagan passed away over the weekend.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Shannon.
I don't know if I even believe in reincarnation, but after a few minutes after he died, a baby was born. And that baby then immediately kicked a homeless guy.
Oh, my God.
So that political. Is horrible.
Oh.
Is that Bitman?
Yeah. Is this Bitman?
No, we don't get that anymore. This is the complete sheet.
The complete sheet.
Sure is.
Oh, my God. The complete sheet. Okay, here you go. Last one. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
President Bush met with French President Jacques Chirac, who again questioned America's justification for the war with Iraq. Then Bush fake-slapped Chirac, and 40,000 French people surrendered.
Oh, that's painful. Trying too hard. So painful.
Okay. That's the best.
So painful.
That's the best. You know, that's everything bad. Else...
I thought we were only going to get one.
Well, how many did we get?
We got four.
All right, well then, hold on. I'll give you a bonus. I'll give you a bonus as a way to get out of here.
No need. If you don't really want to.
No.
Okay.
Not a joke bonus. Just an extra Wayne moment.
Oh, now that's something I want.
And then we'll start the show. Wayne?
People take from me, or probably any performer, what it is they need. And you can't know what each of them needs. So the only shot you have at touching them in that place called the heart is to be what you are.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
In that little place called the heart. Oh, hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, there. Oh, no, they're not
back after the weekend.
They are.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Birthday.
Uh-huh. National holiday is La La Day.
And all the ships at sea, they will touch you in that place called the heart.
The heart, yes.
Hunter Hanamo, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Good. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there,
Donna Mike
Show, new episode.
Guys,
we're
back.
There we go.
There we go.
Hello. New episode on this Monday
at 06.
07. 04.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. Donna Mike Show, new episode. Thank you for listening on this June 7th, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America. Please be calling 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. In Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. Okay. Guy says, here we go. Here's a good call to start the show. Cliff.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Cliff.
Those jokes, you're not selling those jokes. You're not selling them. You're not giving them the pizzazz and the timing that
you
need.
No. They're you're right. Those jokes that we get every day from the joke service are really great. I'm ruining them with my awful fake delivery.
Give me one. Let me try.
No.
Those are unsellable.
They're awful.
I can sell it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, here you go. Hold on a second.
All right.
Rob, well, you know what doesn't work with this? What doesn't work is... In order to give him a joke over the phone, which he doesn't have, you'd have to say it twice.
I was going to say, we'll put him on hold. Rob, here, yes. Pick out one of those jokes.
But isn't that technically, if we're going to adhere to the rules of this show?
Yes, then we'll give out his phone number.
Our bylaws, he has to put his phone number up.
No, I didn't write the joke.
No, but it doesn't matter. You want to tell it, you want the glory of
saying,
being such a jokester.
You're saying that the jokes are good.
Well.
Why don't you take one of them? That I screwed up with my bad fake DJ Reed.
Yeah, and then offer up your phone number, and if we laugh at your version of it, we will...
I can't risk my phone number.
Yeah.
I just want to teach.
You want to teach.
I want to give.
What, are you a stand-up comedian?
Are you a radio professional?
No.
What do you do?
No, I'm an office.
What do you do? What do you do in your office?
I do web programming, and
You're a webmaster.
That's good. That's good. We'll go back to a chat group. With your, and I'm sure your name is something like, hung 12 inches at imaliar.com.
No,
whatever
that
it is.
That one's not available on.
Well, Buzz, I'm sorry. Just give away Buzz's email. Yeah. You're going to have to change that, everybody.
That's it. Now that's funny.
All right. Thank you for your non-help.
Bye.
Goodbye. He's all pleased with himself.
Sure. All puffed up.
Very good.
He's all puffed. He's all puffy.
Well, happy La La Day.
Oh, yes, La La.
To everybody. La La.
Please to explain.
La La. Well, it's Frida's birthday.
Oh, that, yeah.
La La.
That's right, it is.
Nice
Frida's birthday. And you should not be concerned about that.
I am.
Mike, when he came in the office today. Oh, yeah. We've got Joe's song that Joe made when he was drunk.
Good.
And Mike had said that he was going to bring a real gift. And
I forgot. I forgot. But, I know it doesn't, it's not a big deal to you. But it is going to be a big deal to her. I know, and it's going to give her, I think it might give her an opportunity to really get on.
I don't think so. I think she's had a bigger disappointment already.
Really?
She's already had a bigger disappointment. Like, she does disappointment every morning. when she rolls over and sees me.
Hi there.
My hot breath blowing in her face. Hi, sweetheart. Good morning. Hi.
Well, even though I'm guilty of this oversight, may I say happy birthday, Frida?
Yes. Well, yep.
Celebrate the national
happy
holiday.
Happy birthday, Frida.
She's 49 today, mm-hmm. and Robbie was the unwilling recipient of some friendly fire on the telephone today.
Uh-oh.
We were speaking, as we occasionally do, and at one point, my kid walked in, as he does, you know, ignoring the fact that I'm standing there on the telephone.
Right.
And he just starts talking to me. And I say, you know, excuse me for a second. Uh-huh. I'm on the telephone.
Did you address him like Pee-wee did in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where you looked at him and quietly said, I'm trying to use the phone.
Yeah, and also he used the big ear when I wanted to listen, like when he went into the magic shop.
What?
No, so he's saying,
Mad Dog.
He said, Dad, I just want to tell you, I'm leaving now. He was leaving like 10 o'clock. I said,
right.
Okay,
that's fine.
All right, see ya. And then I said, oh, incidentally, before you leave, go tell Mom you're sorry that you forgot her birthday.
He forgot?
He forgot.
Oh.
And he said, I didn't forget.
Uh-huh.
And Rob, did you hear this part of it?
Oh, yeah.
Because he said it.
Is the rule birthday morning gifts have to be given?
Yeah. Or at least the card. At least the card.
They should be under the tree when she comes downstairs, right?
That's right. He was indignant. That boy of mine was indignant. He said, I did not forget her birthday. And I said, well, listen, you know how Mom is about a birthday. And I said, it's her birthday, and you don't have a card, you don't have anything, not even that you have to have anything, but at least, you know, you could have gone to online and made a card, you could have written something down, you didn't. He said, I didn't forget. And he left the room. And so I go back to the phone, I go to Rob, I go, hey, what's happening? Rob said, how are things at your house? And I said, you know what? Let me call you back. I'm going to have to call you back.
Right.
And then like a half hour later, I'm in a totally different room up by the computer. Phone rings.
Uh-huh.
Rob calls back and he goes, hey, what's happening? And I say, nothing. And we start talking and then World War III breaks out around me again.
At your house.
A sound effect CD of a spirited family conversation just begins. Three voices at once. It was had to have been quite intriguing on your end.
I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, the argument, which was still, I think, somewhat birthday related, started to roll its way. You know, I feel like one of those weather guys.
So were your son and your wife were arguing about the birthday?
Yeah, and I was on the telephone, and then it's like they came closer and closer, and the closer they got, I think the first thing I said was, because I'm a caring human being, I said something like, shut up! I am on the phone!
I'm trying to use the phone!
Hello? Rob, I'm sorry about this. Rob said, hey, no problem. And then...
I'm going to have to call you back.
And then it was back and forth. Lots of raised tone of voice.
Was your wife not pleased that your son had not commemorated the special day?
I believe so.
Uh-huh.
I believe so. And I believe that he, you know, I tried to tell him, listen, just go up and... Here's the thing. He's stubborn. She's stubborn. But he's the kid and she's the mom. Regardless if
right.
the birthday is overblown or not,
mm-hmm.
in this case, he's got to say... Happy birthday, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in fairness, he did say happy birthday, but I think he had to be prodded to finally go up and say...
To even say it?
To say happy birthday, because he wanted to prove that he hadn't forgotten it.
Oh.
So if he like saw her and didn't address the fact that it was her birthday,
right?
Technically he's not forgotten that it's her birthday.
All right, here's the deal. And I think this is a technicality. The statute of limitations is
still either
midnight tonight.
Her
yeah.
or him. Hello.
Hi, Sugar Bear.
Hi, baby.
I wasn't upset. He got that all mixed up. I wasn't upset with Bart. I was on hold listening to messages I never got. I mean, as far as Bart forgetting my birthday or even not forgetting, you know, but waiting till the last minute to celebrate. That's what I expect from him. I mean, and Mike, to say, you're lumped into the Bart group. I don't expect anything from you guys.
This is how she works. This is how she works, people.
It's not working.
This is how she works, people, because she's...
If it were a manipulation, don't you think if I'd try and make it effective... I think you have tried.
Now, here's the good news about me, Freddie. You're off the hook. In a few days, you don't have to worry about me now.
Yeah, I know, but with my husband, when he gives you a gift, it's from us both.
No, it's not.
Oh no, that doesn't.
No,
count.
I'd like to say that's not. That's absolutely not.
That doesn't count.
So I forgot. It was an argument, but it was an argument that
A lot of the time. Well, I beg to differ. It is from us both because a lot of the times I do the legwork on it.
Okay, but a lot of the times, you know, if we're going
to... Now I feel guilty.
If we're going to get technical about it, you know, a lot of the times, well, no, I strike that. All of the times, I go out and slay the dragon to bring home the metal pellets. What,
well,
Mike?
Yes, but I keep the home fire burning, so all those...
Mike, talk to her. Don't...
I'm afraid.
Don't be...
I am afraid.
She's a 49-year-old woman. Don't be afraid of her.
Frida?
Yes?
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Mike. I know you care for me. I know my son loves me.
Yes, of course.
Then
that's all there should be.
I expect a
celebration
on my birthday. This is what I expect. I expect my husband to be loving, which he always is. I expect a card from Buzz and Marcia. Mm-hmm. And if those things happen and my mother remembers me, then anything else is icing on the cake.
That was another reason for the fight. I forgot that, too.
Sorry.
I forgot that...
I just flipped Buzz off.
Her mother called... And I forgot to tell her, of course, the urgent message that her mom called to wish her happy birthday. Right. So that's one reason she was flipping out.
You know, that is an extremely kind word from your wife, and I am grateful for the kind word.
Seriously.
And what she said, she knows that I like her and that I care about her.
I know he cares about me. I know.
And you know what? And then I'm not even going to say anything. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I had a little process in my mind. That I was thinking about.
Don't.
I'm not committing to anything.
Don't. You know, she already let you off the hook. She didn't really even expect anything from you. So don't.
And see, that doesn't make me feel good when you say that. Now you've heard me.
No, what do I care? I don't want you buying junk from my wife.
You don't?
I mean, my wife, she's got too much junk.
Okay.
Yeah, I have plenty of junk. That's
too much. Too much junk.
I have plenty of junk, and I know that you care about me, and that's what matters.
Right. There you go. And tonight... how are you going to like this, Mike? You know who we're going out with tonight? Celebrate my wife's birthday?
One to remember.
Just our favorite couple.
Well, and that, you know what? They are, without question, as far as all friends that I have known and business associates and acquaintances, Buzz and his wife, Marcia, two of the most thoughtful people I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're barren...
Pisses me off!
No, Mike, listen, hold on a second. You know, when you're barren...
Yeah.
That's true, though. When God has chosen
children, that's only other adults to care for.
And cats.
So
you care for other kids.
And the kitties.
Sure.
Other little ones. You've given gifts.
K-I-T-T-Y-S.
That's right. When God closes a door, he opens another.
That's
and he's
right.
opened the door of thoughtfulness.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, when he closed the door of potency,
that's right.
That's right.
He unlocked it.
That's right.
Threw away the key. Centuries ago.
Did I say anything to the Spiewak when on Mother's Day, even though, you know, my children remember their godmothers, I don't hear anything. I don't hold any hard feelings.
Give me that sound effect. That wah, 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 wah.
What was that? I missed that. What
here's
was
the thing.
Well, it did occur to me.
Hold on a second. You expect on Mother's Day that Robert Spiewak, the third, who is... not even 2 years old, will call you up to say Happy Mother's Day because you're his godmother?
Even though, as a godmother, I remember, I mean, and even working behind the scenes for Bart, which someone must do, Bart remembered his godmother. I sent my godmother a card. She's elderly. Bart gave his godmother a card.
Oh, brother.
I didn't realize that was appropriate. It will be taken care of.
God,
I didn't know that that was part of the rules.
Oh, that is.
That is absolutely not. No.
Have you not looked in the Hallmark store where it says cards for godmothers?
I've never seen.
If something, God forbid, would take both my life and Carrie's life and you became the parent or the caregiver, then you would get a card, I'm
right.
sure.
Well, I'm sure. And I wouldn't take it out on the child at that point either.
You are. Go ahead. You are too much, darling. You are too much. Are you not happy enough that it's your birthday that I'm talking about it here on the radio where we've turned it into a national holiday? Now you got to say that, no. You don't get a card from Robert. You don't get a call from Robert. He's two. And you want the mother to call? The mother calls all the time.
I would guarantee you that there are books.
Does she not?
There are rules.
Don't you talk to Carrie every single day?
No, I don't talk to Carrie every single day.
I bet there are books and there are rule books that would say what the etiquette is.
I know the etiquette because I do it.
Oh, now you're embarrassing me.
No, but I think I really think that that would be a question.
You're embarrassing
me. One would have
in front of a reporter. But no, you're embarrassing me in front of Ron. I mean, really, this is.
I don't think.
You don't mind if I embarrass you in front of Mike, but God forbid I say anything about the chosen one.
No.
God forbid I tease.
No. Hey, okay, I like
can
this.
Tease Ron.
Now I'm going to get all. I'm going to get all excited. Now.
No. It's not that. Listen, do you understand?
Here's the, exactly. I got to. That's his new. Frida, you've given me the new nickname.
All right, Golden Boy.
I know. That's right. How you doing back there, CO?
Listen. Here's the thing.
God forbid I poke fun of your lover.
Oh my.
No,
oh dear.
God forbid that you take a topic which really is a personal honor that someone asks you and turn it. Well, Mike, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Turn it into.
I thought you were talking about the birthday. Now you're talking about
about
godparent.
About
thing.
Being a godparent.
Yeah, it's an honor.
And what you do is you turn it into another effort to get some material thing out of it.
Forgive me, the Spiewaks have done no wrong ever.
Of course they've
not. I'm sorry.
They've not. All they did was ask you, oh yeah, if we get creamed by a car, will you please raise our child, which I think is a wonderful thing for one person to say to another person, and then you say sure. And then you don't sit around and go, God, how come I didn't get a Mother's Day card from this kid?
You don't even know that Bart, via me, gave his godmother a card and a present and that I gave my godmother cards, and that it's just a remembrance. But I'm only kidding.
You're too much. Hey, the rule with godparents, though, is it's not necessarily legal. You don't have a legal obligation to raise the child.
No, it's just an affectionate.
It's an affectionate thing.
Yeah.
It's a term. I just thought I'd take you off the hook there, but well, of course Bart's already full grown, so it doesn't matter. You know. Oh no, but you're the godparent.
Yeah, for Rob.
I don't think you're legally responsible for Rob's kids if he blows up in a fiery auto wreck.
No, but you know, we take care of them.
Sure.
You know, as long as they send us cards. as long as they send us cards.
Oh,
my God!
All I know, you know, you're one of the parents of Robert. It's yours and Rob's baby, for all I know.
And
you ready for something funny here? I'm a godparent of either my niece or my nephew. I forgot which one.
Oh, dear.
Seriously, because you know why? I've never gotten a card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm father.
Because you don't. Because you just don't.
My godchild and I have exchanged presents.
Oh, you're a godchild, and you are in a mutual admiration society. You always have been with that girl.
Huh?
You've always been, like, in a mutual admiration society. Is that Donna, the one that came to visit us?
Am I in mutual admiration? We exchange cards and gifts at Christmas and birthdays and Mother's Day and things like that.
And you know what? It's only that I love you that I'm not going to say what you know I'm going to say right now.
Well, but she's religious, so you don't have to say anything about that.
No, I was going to mention the Christmas card.
Yeah, that she sent out a family, you know, Christmas card.
Oh, one of those bios?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, obviously...
Tippy's going to Vanderbilt, and, you know, yeah.
And what was your response when we read that from this person that matters so much to you?
I don't go for the family newsletters at Christmas.
Did you or did you not read it open,
hey,
mocking?
No, Sylvia, you are the only one I would mock. I wouldn't mock somebody else, but I don't...
I remember at Christmas you opened it up and you said, do you want to hear something really funny?
Would you stop?
Okay, well, I will be glad to stop if you would stop about Robert, a two-year-old.
I'm stopping. I just didn't know what a hot topic it was. I mean, I could tease anybody else. Oh, and the UPS man is here right now, and I bet it's Robert's present. I bet it's all.
There it is. There you go. It's all about you, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy birthday. I love you.
Okay. Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks very much.
All right,
okay, bye-bye.
Constant parade of men. Constant parade of men. Nothing's fixed, but there's always someone there. All right, darling, I love you. Happy, happy 49th birthday.
Again, I apologize. I apologize.
Happy birthday, Frida.
Thanks. Oh, happy hold on. Birthday. Hold on, baby. We have, courtesy of Joe Ardinger, recorded at, I think, 4 a.m.
4 a.m., oh no. Wow.
Saturday, when he was drunk, here is Joe Ardinger and his choir, as he's written, his choir of well-wishing appreciants of your birthday.
It's 4:15 a.m. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Frida. Happy birthday to you. How old are you?
God.
How old are you?
Very punk rock. Is that it?
Just don't know what to say. I'm overwhelmed. This is what all the secrecy was about.
Oh, he's done like some kind of a crazy mix here.
Yeah. Why this particular day?
I like the tapes better where Joe is just rambling.
Oh, yeah. We all know my quick breakfast.
Well, not when he's trying to be Paul McCartney.
Sounds sober.
Well, we do now.
I like
it. Like a lot of letter writing, but...
Are you hearing this, darling?
I am so touched.
I recorded it also.
So who do you like better right now, Joe Ardinger or your godson, Robert Spiewak?
I have to go with Joe. I want to book him for my 50th birthday party. I
think. Yeah, ticket, Joe.
All right, here we go.
You know, for being drunk, I wanted something looser.
Happy birthday to you.
There he is.
You.
New assignment. Joe just gets drunk on the weekend and tapes himself. He's there with all of his drunk, rowdy friends.
Happy birthday.
Well, there you go. Isn't that special?
That is.
Oh, man, I get tired.
And that's it.
That's lovely.
That's good. Find out what he's doing June 7th, 2005.
Oh, you want to talk to some listeners?
Good booking.
Sure.
Honey?
Okay, I'm not afraid.
You want to talk to some listeners? Hello, Kathy?
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Frida, happy birthday, first of all.
Thank you.
But you got to stop. You give women a bad name, girl. I mean, you just keep going on and on. It's all about Frida. Damn, girl, you can't do this.
Well... She can't.
Thanks, Sugar Bear, for putting her on the
phone. She's not even listening to the call. Her eyeballs are on you.
Now the best birthday ever.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, like, you didn't, you didn't know what she was going to talk about.
I didn't.
Thank you.
I didn't know.
No, I'll just retire right now. This is my last radio
listen,
broadcast.
I just have to. I
don't want to give women a bad name.
Oh, dear.
You're going to believe one jackass caller?
Well, you put her on.
All right, hold on.
Hear that.
Hold on. Now, this one, I'll take another one. It just says Frida. Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, how's it going, Don?
Okay, my friend.
Good to hear. Hey, Frida, listen, if it's any consolation to you,
mm-hmm.
I had the entire bar in Reno, Nevada, of the Flowing Tide Pub, singing happy birthday to Frida Soares. Does that make you feel any better?
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you.
See,
you're very welcome.
The listeners give, the listeners take of the
way. There you go, honey.
That's right. We love you, Don and Mike.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, but just to recap what I was saying.
What were you saying?
I don't need any presents. I wasn't asking for presents. I love Mike. I know that he's not a present giver.
Hey, just remember something. You said you know that I care for you. Don't shut the door on that just yet,
no,
okay?
It's not.
I'm here and your husband hasn't gone home yet.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
That's fine. I love my son. I know that he's not, he's not the best about presents, but I know he loves me. I love Buzz and Marcia. They always remember me with a card that's their strong suit. I appreciate that. And I know the Spiewaks love us. God knows. I know they love you enough, that little lapse over on me, and that's great. So I'm not bitching about.
You know, I mean, gee, I'd hate to take a dip in Lake Mead right now, but I just heard you mention how much everybody paid attention to you on your birthday, except, you
I've
know,
already said the, that you are
Big Daddy.
The greatest. You are the greatest.
She did say that at the beginning.
I needed to hear it again.
Yeah. She actually said, right out of the shoot, she was saying nice things about you.
No matter what you say, you do like that, just like that Christmas morning thing, you do like that on your birthday.
That you are the most, you and my mother are tied for, you know, just overwhelming me with love.
As it should be.
There you go. All right, baby. I love you.
How can you complain about that?
Give all women a bad name, I still love you. Even though you think that our two-year-old godson, who cannot even spell the word crap, much less figure out how to do it on his own, doesn't send you a card. I still love you.
I didn't say anything. I mean, how many weeks is it past Mother's Day? I didn't say anything. I was just joking now.
All right, I know you are. And I'm just joking now, too. We're doing a radio show,
for God's sakes.
All right, it's a joke, for God's sake.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I love you, for God's sake.
Goodbye.
Happy birthday, for God's sake.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right.
See you tonight. Bye-bye. Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Here you go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Matt. Don and Mike Show. Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
Hey, I just want to point out one thing. I think you officially ruined your friendship with the other couple with the comment you made the other few minutes ago.
With what other couple?
Well, you said you were going out with your favorite couple tonight. So if that other couple knows or is listening and they don't go out with you, then I think you're screwed.
All the couples think that we're their favorite couples.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say one more thing, by the way?
No.
Will it be any better than shaking my fist at you?
Rob is balling his fist.
And shaking
Rob,
it.
Rob, you know you're my favorite couple.
I'd like to think so. Can I cut out early? I got to get to Hallmark.
Yes. One more call. Aaron. Aaron?
What up, fellas?
Hello, Aaron.
Don, no wonder why you married Frida.
No wonder why. Thank you. What?
Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
That's the best.
That's a prize winner. That is.
Clip me out, man.
Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. Wow. There you go. And let's start a Monday with a great call and a chew. What's your name?
Aaron.
I know that because I called you Aaron. Aaron, where are you from?
I'm from Westminster, Maryland, in fact.
Are you listening on, let me guess, Live 105.7?
Yeah, buddy.
Right on. You've got a 7-Eleven Big Bite and a 7-Eleven Big Gulp, including a $25 buy anything you want card at 7-Eleven.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Thank you. Great call. I will steal that and make that my own.
That is awesome. Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed. That is great.
We've not heard that one before. Okay, good going. Hold on a second.
I love that's a good one, man. Oh, man.
I love it when a universal truth rhymes.
And happy La La Day. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, this is a pleasure to be in the company of Emmy Award-winning Edie Falco. May I call you Carm?
Oh, please do.
And Carm would like to say hi to Don and Mike at Washington, D.C.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike, down in Washington, D.C. How are you? We're in the cold Big Apple.
What can we expect this year on The Sopranos?
More of The Sopranos.
At least 13 more, right?
About 13 more. That's all I can give you.
Well, we really hope the marriage works out with you and Tony. I mean, he's a handful.
You gotta love him.
No one ever looks quite so good dealing with someone who's about to have a mental breakdown as you. You're very pretty, and you're very put upon, and I think America loves you.
Oh, I couldn't be happier about it. Thanks.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, for you.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know could fill a book.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Furio Junta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Come, tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, yeah. Before we talk about The Sopranos, are you going to wear that
hat for the rest of the show? I enjoy a good hat, and I especially enjoy a hat when it fits right out of the envelope. And I would like to personally thank all of my good friends at Outback Jack. May I request... TBS's newest reality show.
May I ask... may I ask someone...
You don't want me to...
No. Here's the thing. If someone introduced Mike to a mirror...
Yeah.
You might rethink
the hat?
You might want to rethink it.
The hat feels... Maybe it feels better than it looks. Let me take a look.
I think it looks good.
Thank you. You're looking at in the back of a CD?
Yeah. I feel very Australian. G'day, mate. This is, you know, the nice thing about the hat is that it fits, and I'm very surprised that it fits. You know, hats don't fit me. And this is just a comfort, perfect hat for the weather, you know, for the heat.
Carrying
it's
going to
be hot this week.
The proud tradition of DJs who put on headphones over hats.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to do it when I didn't shower.
And now, but this is like one of those Paul Hogan type hats.
Yeah, this is one of those Outback hats, you know, which you would wear. And, you know, outside of the...
I would beg to differ when you say it fits.
You think it's too small?
It might fit.
Well, let me take the headphones.
My headphones. Hold on a second. Fine.
I'm going to put down the little string here a little bit.
Because you did have the string pulled all the way up to your Adam's apple.
There you go. I think it looks good.
That's a good look.
I like it better with the headphones.
That's a good look.
Well, what's you guys don't like that?
The sides up. That's how it should be.
Look.
Do you want to? It's going to snap. Well, don't say look and hold the microphone up, you dope.
No, I'm holding the microphone up to the snap so you can hear it. I was thinking about that.
I thought you were saying look and hold the microphone up like it was a cell phone with a camera.
A close up of that.
You hear that?
Oh, did I? Here we go.
Hear that?
Now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now it looks awesome.
Now it's cool.
I'll tell you what. Let's do a little experiment.
Okay.
I'm going to call Colette.
All right.
Beautiful Colette, who's our receptionist. And Rob's taking a picture with a picture phone now.
And then right out to the fans, Rob.
We'll send you up front and see what... Boy.
Hello?
Efficiency. Hey, Colette?
Yes.
Hi, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I'm going to... If you have a second, Colette, stay on the phone. Mike, would you run up to the front desk? Now, Colette?
Yes?
Mike's going to come up wearing a hat.
Hubby.
Okay.
And please to be telling me when you see him... What you think of him in this hat?
It was
a promotional hat sent from some TV company.
Okay, hold on.
Let's stay on the phone. Mike, would you run up? Yeah,
he's just put you on hold.
I was trying to.
Okay.
Okay, you got him. You see him? Yeah.
She likes it.
Handsome.
I like it.
That's a handsome look, right?
I like it. Yeah, I like his hat. Do you like it, Jessica? She likes it too.
Now, Colette, be honest with me. Is Mike still? Hold on, Mike. Go back for a second. Now, if. Mike, would you go back for a second?
He's looking at his reflection in the glass.
Okay, Mike's coming around the corner. If I was to tell you a retarded man is coming around the corner, would you believe me?
No.
You wouldn't? You don't think
that... retarded? No, he doesn't look retarded.
I mean with a hat.
No, I'm putting the chin strap up.
He's putting the chin strap up.
Tell him I could hear him.
He can hear you.
They're highly amused.
There you go. Well, you've proven me wrong. All right. Thank you, Colette.
Okay, bye.
We'll see you.
Everybody looks good in a hat.
Bye-bye.
Horse hockey. Listen, I did figure this. I guess Mike's just touring the building now. Oh, here he comes. There you go.
He's into
all
it
right.
Now.
Well, prove me wrong, Mike. That's a handsome look. That Outback hat that you're wearing.
I'm putting the snaps on again, so I'll have the flaps up. Man, with Hazossi's no headgear, I will tell you, because it's functional and fashionable.
True.
Yeah, I love it.
I will tell you.
Best found the most that ever came in a hat.
Because I rarely do I get a hat that I just want to put on and keep on right away. I could see myself taking my shirt off and doing yard work in this hat.
I dare you.
What, to take my shirt off? And it would look better with my shirt off.
Go ahead.
You know, frankly, it would look better with my shirt off.
Go ahead, I dare you.
Okay.
All right.
He's got to take off his tie first.
Mike's actually wearing a tie today.
Yeah, why?
But it's like casual. He's got a tie with the blue jeans on.
You don't do yard work, do you?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, but if I ever was supposed to,
right,
then I'd do it.
Yeah. He's just going to take his shirt off?
Well, it would look better. It would look more rugged like this, just with the shirt on.
Oh, with it open. Yeah, now you can
see. No, I thought you were going to take it off, not that you were going
to. You're gay.
I am not gay. Go get some people, Rob. I don't care. Anybody? Clem? Shondell?
He's right.
He's
right.
Yeah, you're right. It looks a lot
better.
Better
now?
It looks a lot.
Yeah. Doesn't it look better now?
It looks a lot better.
Does it look good now?
It looks a lot
It's perfectly natural.
Shirt off, my God.
Huh? This is the look.
Get that man a rake. So he'll do something else with his hands.
This reminds me of 17 years ago when you got in the Jeep that day. And you took your shirt off. And back then when you thought you were happening because you had a Jeep.
I never thought I was happening. I thought it was comfortable.
You had the Jeep. He said, hey, look at how great this is. Right. All I have to do is take my shirt off.
Right. Hi, ladies. Come on in.
Hi.
Come on in. What do you think? What do you think of this
welcome,
body?
Welcome,
what do you think?
Yeah,
well, no, it's not the body. It's, what do you think of the combination? Do you like Mike with the, first? Do you like Mike with the hat, girls?
Very special.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, they're all looking.
Michelle,
at me.
What do you think?
They're all looking like, at me like I have some sort of strength.
What did you say?
What?
Belt knife.
Well, don't look down at the belly level, please, because the jeans are a little tight.
What?
Belt.
What the belt? You like the belt? And now we know where you are looking.
Yeah.
We know where you are looking, mother.
So do you like Mike in the hat, girls? We have four girls in here.
They're not looking at the
I
hat.
I want brutal
Megan
honest.
And Clem and Julie and Michelle.
Right.
Go ahead, Megan.
Megan, go over to the microphone, please.
It's an interesting hat.
Okay, that's a no. I'll take that for a
no. Hold on. Mike's argument was that not wearing a shirt would make it look better.
Oh, and now Clem is going to bust. We're busted with Clem because she went by the cupcakes that I ate.
Oh, did you eat the cupcakes?
I did.
Did you like them?
I loved them.
They were delicious.
Can't you tell by this body that I know my way around a cupcake?
Clem brought in some cupcakes for my wife's birthday today.
All right, Clem, what do you think of the hat?
That's nice. I like the hat without the shirt.
Thank you.
And why is that, Clem?
Again, why is that?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
rugged?
Makes me look at your nipples.
Yeah, there you go. All right. All right. There we go.
Julie?
All right. Julie, yes, Julie.
Julie Fullman, step up, please.
Yeah.
I think you've lost weight.
Yeah.
This is not. It's not. How does Mike look without a shirt on?
Well, that's what they can't get by this body.
The hat.
The hat. You can't notice the hat when you're looking at a body like this.
That's right. You're the one that said.
I expect to see you like on Cop.
Right. Okay. Thank you. That's kind of non-committal, Michelle.
And Michelle, no, I think she made a statement.
Okay.
I had a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Huh?
What was that?
Yeah, my chest was shaved when I had my cardiological work done last week. When they did my heart scan when I was allergic to iodine.
The paddles.
Okay, well, you know, I know what you're really thinking because I can see it in all your eyes. All right? Thank you, baby.
Did I mention I like the gold chain?
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, yes. White gold. White gold for you.
Get out of there with this shirt off.
Bye, ladies.
You want to know what Mike looks like? Rent the movie Parenthood.
Uh-huh.
And you know what Steve Martin puts on the hat? That's what the hat looks like.
Yeah.
Watch Mike.
Yeah.
Shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
any more people coming in?
Is it freeing? Does it feel freeing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'll just sit down for a minute.
You know what? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
You got your phone with you?
No, I don't, no.
You want to borrow mine and walk down to Alan's office?
Walk down to Alan's office? Okay, might as well go for it.
Got mine.
Okay. I like to look. I think it's perfectly natural.
It's Mike, without a... But hold on. Dial up before Mike leaves the studio here so we can maintain constant communication with him as he walks down the hall. It's a whole different side of my buddy Mike that we're seeing today.
I just feel the hat has done things to me. The hat has made me feel liberated.
I'm so stupid, Robbie. Just going to say, oh, look, someone's calling. Duh. And I know it's you. Hello. Hi, Robbie.
I'll walk into Alan's office.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Okay, there you go. Mike's got the phone.
Don, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Still in the room.
Yeah, he's still in the room.
All right, I'm walking down the hallway right now.
Of course I can hear you.
What did you say? I didn't hear you. What?
I said, of course I can hear you. You said, can you hear me? I was looking at you. Of course, you're in the room.
See if the cell phone was working. I'm now doing a tour. How you doing? Hey, I'm in the tall guy's office that doesn't play golf. How you doing, brother? All right. He liked it.
Sure.
Good.
Why not?
Mike is walking around the halls now.
Gonna check in the job. Oh, Julie's seen me already. Hi, Julie.
No, right. No shirt on.
Uh-huh.
Wearing
not a lot of people here, which is good. Everybody's working. Hi, guys.
Wearing his brand new Australia.
Just
hat.
Checking out the cubicles down here.
Just going back to Alan's office.
Yep, I'm gonna go into Alan's office right now. We'll see if we get a little impromptu. Oh, let's go in and see Steve Johnson and Paul Gorgie right now.
Yes.
Hi, guys. How you doing, Steve Johnson? What do you think of this look?
Nice,
nice. All right. They're being very, very. They're being sarcastic. Big laugh. Okay, pretty boys. Now we're in Alan's office right now. I'm going to put Alan on the line. Here we go.
Okay.
There we go. There you go, Alan. Hello?
Alan.
Oh, man, what are you guys doing?
Listen, here's the thing. We got.
He's getting way too close to me.
No, you know what,
Kevin Allen? Oh, man. How you doing, brother? What do you think of his look?
Now, yeah. Alan, you will verify that Mike has no shirt on.
He's got a jolly run. He's got no shirt on.
Right. Now, do you think that hat that he has on... First off, let's discuss the hat, the Australian hat.
Try to look at the hat.
Do you like?
His head seems a little oversized for that small hat.
I would have to agree.
I don't think
the fact that Mike is taking his shirt off, he thinks makes him look better.
Moving the show along. Does it make him look better?
That he has the hat on, but he's taking his shirt off.
Of course it does. I can't say it makes him look better. No, his head still looks huge.
Hey, Mike. Would you put Mike on the phone?
All right, shirt or not,
hey,
no shirt. I'm not comfortable in this office.
Hey, Mike, hold on. Hold on, one thing.
I'm coming.
No, Mike.
What?
Would you go back and like just roll all over Alan's stuff?
Roll over his stuff?
On the desk.
I mean, like on his desk?
No, I'm not doing that.
Please.
But I have to go back into the Redskins players-only locker room.
Yes.
Oh, that's
all right. Let me go back here right now.
This is the section of the building where the salespeople who sell.
Now there are a few more people back here, so you'll be able to hear it too. Hi, everybody. All right, nobody's talking. They're all in a safe. Can we? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Jeff Hedges is right here. I mean, Jeff might have a comment. What do you think, Jeff? You got a halter that.
Oh,
that's nasty. I think that might have been a breast reference. But I'm not sure.
Would you go back?
Now, I'm going back to see all the new guys back here.
Would you hug anybody?
Would I hug anybody?
Yeah.
Let me. What's your name?
John Spahn.
John. I'm gonna hug John. I'm hugging John right now. How did that feel?
It was wonderful.
It's wonderful. That's great. Thank you. Hi, lady. All right. I gotta know names back here. You know, when we move down to this office, I'm gonna do better.
Trust me,
Paul Gorgie. Oh, how about a hug?
They're gonna remember you.
All right, I'll hug for Paul Gorgie. Lotta.
Mike is not wearing
a
shirt.
Hello, Joan Lotta.
Hello, Mike.
I'm hugging Joan Lotta right now.
Sure.
Hey, is Joan Crawford? Is Joan Crawford? What about Joan Crawford?
That's who I walked by when I said hi, lady.
Hi, lady.
I didn't know. I didn't feel like hugging. I'm coming back now.
Okay.
That was fun.
You bet that was.
It was liberating.
You bet it was.
Hi, Joe. Hi, BA. How are you? Yes, sir. John Norman. How are you, my friend?
Mike's getting closer to the studio.
All right,
I can tell by the people he's passing. And here he goes.
Right.
Here's your phone, Rob.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, he's back. He's in the studio.
See you, Rob.
Oh, bye, Robbie.
Bye, Rob.
Well, there you go, Mike. Thanks. That was an unexpected treat.
Well, I just felt like it today. I just felt good. It felt good.
Rightly so.
You know. Feel manly now.
You're not putting a shirt back on.
I am.
Okay.
I am because, you know, suddenly, right after Hedges, I became aware of the size of my man breasts. And there we go. I think everybody really enjoyed it and... I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Those ladies were turned on.
Uh-huh. Oh, of course they were.
Whether they admit it or not.
John Spahn is a very nice man.
And I hugged John.
John Spahn.
And I gave a big hug to Paul Gorgie.
Uh-huh.
And then a big hug to Lotta. The only reason I didn't want to roll on Alan's... I didn't want to roll on Alan's desk because he had, like, sharp things on it. You know, if it had just been papers, I would have bathed on it.
Just with your cooties all over it.
Yeah.
Was Paul Gorgie...
I got close to him. I should have hugged Alan, but, you know.
Was Paul Gorgie oily to the touch?
He was. He was.
He's
funny. He was wearing a shirt I wasn't, and I kind of just fell right off of him.
Yeah. He was wearing a shirt I wasn't.
How many times have we heard that?
Yes, sir.
He was wearing a shirt I wasn't. Says Mike O'Mara.
And I think the most famous line of all, Jeff Hedges, you better halter that. There you go.
All right, my friend.
Ah, that felt good.
Sure.
I don't know what it is you're taking, but keep taking it.
Well, thank you very much.
That was a good break.
Oh, I feel good.
It was a good break.
Good day, mate.
And then what is it? I mean, no, I'm not going to fall into the trap. I was going to say, what is it for? It's for some stupid TV show.
Mm-hmm. Stupid?
Blah, blah.
Well,
it's for Outback Jack. And what is Outback Jack?
It's a reality show with a bunch of beautiful babes and a stunningly handsome Australian man. That's what I got from my initial peruse of the PR materials when I wasn't staring at this fabulous hat.
Hello. Here's another guy named Aaron. Aaron, Don and Mike show.
Hello, theater.
No, that's not the same guy.
No.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hey.
This is not the original Mrs. Doubtfire guy, though, right?
No. Oh. Did you guys catch the Cicada Open this weekend?
It was incredible.
Oh, my God, yes.
Truly incredible.
the golf tournament on CBS,
uh-huh.
at, you know, there's always been talk that they pipe in the sounds of nature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But those cicadas were making so much noise. Mike, I can't do the show when you're doing that. I can't do the show. Just, goodbye, Aaron. Thank you for calling.
Bye,
Mike, you just got to button up, please. Please.
Close your
eye. Right.
Please, close. Close for comfort.
Closer.
You know what was great in the golf tournament? You know when no one talks for a while and the mics get louder?
Mm-hmm.
There'd be like a moment of silence, friends, and then the cicadas would go loud, 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 loud.
It was amazing because a lot of shots they had that, like Ernie Els at one point was on the first tee and just one buzzed him right into his forehead practically, wow. And he had to pull off the shot. It was great.
And our guy, Johnny 30 Car. God, I wish I could remember his name.
How did he do?
He finished, I think, in the top 20.
Of the Sunday race?
Of the NASCAR race on Sunday, and he had a top 10 finish today in the Busch Series.
That's good.
Towards the end of the NASCAR, Johnny Sauter is the guy.
Oh, did they rerun the Busch one because of the weather?
Yeah.
Okay.
And towards the end of the race yesterday at Dover, the NASCAR race with the guy that we had on the show Friday, it was like a 19-car pileup,
mm-hmm.
and he fortunately just went by and, I guess, like moved up 15 spots in the final rankings.
Wow. And he's a good guy. I hope he wins some races.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the magic. You come on the Don and Mike mm-hmm. show. You don't get involved in the 18-car pile up,
right.
crack up. You get to wear that. Are you going to wear that hat all day?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah, I love it.
I know.
I really love it. It feels good. No, I won't wear it for the whole show.
I mean, whatever makes you comfortable. It's just I will.
Well, what makes me comfortable is what I just did.
Uh-huh.
It's liberating. You know, just, you know, I've gained a little weight recently, and I just wanted to feel good about myself. And based on the eyes of the women,
uh-huh. Yeah.
It doesn't show at all, right?
Women, my God, if I could just take 1 second. I know about the Sopranos,
yes.
And we'll get to that. If I could just say, though, man, boy, did my wife piss me off today, and she didn't even mean to, and guys, you don't have to be married to relate to this. Is it our burden that God made us smarter than they are?
Yes.
And here is what I mean. And what guy out there, and I don't care if you like me married 23 years, or you're just with some chick you picked up last night, or you're going to throw out like yesterday's garbage. Here's the thing about all of them.
Okay.
All women. They ask you a question. For instance, my wife asks me a question. Within the first 20 seconds, I have already got the answer. The problem is that they just don't let you tell them the answer.
Uh-huh.
This is, the problem is men are smarter. You come to a man and you say, oh, I got a problem. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I got so many choices to do. I could do this or I could do
men
this.
Are smarter.
And they say, your outfit notwithstanding. They go, well, I could do this or I could do this and I could do this. And I really said this to my wife over the week. And I said, if we could just stop wasting time. But the problem with women is that they're just not as smart as men when it comes to discussing stuff. When you discuss something with a man, what do? The first thing you say when you, if you're going to say something to the guy, you say, hey, Mike,
mm-hmm.
you know what would be a good bit? Take your shirt off.
Right.
How would you feel like, or Mike says, I feel like taking my shirt off on
right.
the show.
Right.
Great. We do it.
Right.
We don't have a 20-minute discussion of if we should or if we shouldn't. When right away we both know, yeah, that's a good bit. Mike taking his shirt off and walking around, that's a good bit. And this is a universal thing that happens all the time with me and my wife. Mm-hmm. And I got to think it happens to other people, too. It's not that I'm not interested. I want to have the conversation. I want to hear what the women have to say.
Of course.
Or in this case, the woman. I want to hear what she has to say. Is it my fault that I'm so freaking adept that mm-hmm. when she tells me, I immediately know what the problem is and I've got a solution? Now, it might not be the right solution.
Right.
But at least I've got a firm decision that I'm ready to give her immediately.
Right.
To say, and I finally said, why do we have to go through these 25 steps when we're finally going to get to anyway? That's all I wanted to say.
There you go.
It's like shopping. Men know what they want when they walk in the store.
Why did God make us so much smarter?
And then guys, when they know they look good in something, they keep it.
Right.
They don't mess around with it.
They debate it.
They keep wearing it.
Right? Talk to a man. What do you want to do? I don't know. Okay, that's fine. End of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do?
Well, I don't know. We could go to the movies, or we could go to dinner, or we could sit around and talk about the photograph collection, or we could, you know. Okay, listen, I've made a decision. Movies. Mm-hmm. Oh, but why would we go to the movies when we could? And this is not the discussion my wife and I were having.
You've hit on another problem. When they ask you a question, when you give the answer to the question, that answer is wrong. So, which raises the question, why did you ask?
Hey, slow down. We don't want to turn this into a women bashing thing.
No, Mike, I love women.
I like women. I like women who appreciate men. That's the way I feel today.
All right,
I'm in a mood.
I know you are.
I feel today. I like women who appreciate
men. I'm in a mood, too. And I just want to say, on behalf of all men, thank God we're smart. Thank God we're smarter than they are.
Thank God we're smart. Thank God we're pretty.
Never mind. I'm not going to be able. I'm not going to get my bully pulpit going right now while you're wearing your outback jack hat.
Outback jack hat probably be taken off.
It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, probably take it off. Give it a rest for a while.
You just mark my words. If you're out there, like I said, if you've been married, just some whore you're going to meet tonight and then throw her out of the car on the way home. Regardless.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to say you don't have to be in a committed relationship to feel this way.
Right. Yeah, you know. You keep talking like that, we'll have detectives from a serial killer investigation in here pretty soon.
No, it's just you're going to go, well, what do you think? Should I get off at the next exit? No, here's what. I think you should get off, like, at the next exit. Mm-hmm. That's where you get off. Uh-huh. And then you just say, okay, that's it. Be quiet now. Be quiet until we get to Shoney's, and I'll buy you a nut log.
Yum, yum.
That's what you say to them.
That's good eating.
Okay?
Okay.
That's what you say.
Right.
I don't know where that came from, but that was something I had written down.
It was on your bully pulpit.
It was right. It wanted to say, why are we so smart?
Amen.
So smart. And if they would just realize that and just listen to what we're saying. Do you realize all of the time that we waste talking to women about stuff? What if we did this? You're asking my opinion, and I'm giving you an answer. Uh-huh. There's the answer now.
Bing, bang, boom. No more pros or cons.
Fair. Right.
It's over.
Now.
No gray areas.
Right.
Definitive answers. Leadership.
Action. And then I can't say what I really want when this conversation happens. What I really want to say is, okay, now, we've discussed it. I want to turn Regis back on.
End of discussion.
I want to turn it back on.
Lecture over.
Hello, Dave. Don and Mike show. Dave.
You know, here's what else women do. And, you know, I love my wife. But instead of when you ask them a question, they don't answer that question because they think that there's hidden meanings in your question. So they answer a question of what they think you mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Nuts.
Mm-hmm. I know. Everything is a test with them. Hello, Don and Mike show. Peter.
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Hey, Peter.
Great. My theory, and actually, Mike can attest to this because we were in his restaurant from a couple of weeks ago. But when my wife was there talking to him, they just want to hear the sound of their own voices over and over and over.
That's right.
I can drive across country with a guy or down up and down California, and we can go hours with, do you want to eat? Yeah, okay, we're going to go to Denny's. That's it. End of conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Again.
Go out with them. It's forever, ever.
I'm with you, my friend.
And it just hurts. It hurts.
I know
my ears bleed.
I'm glad I could bring this to you. Hello, Mark.
It hurts.
Donna Mike Show, Mark.
Don, Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great.
I got a rule at my house.
What's that?
My wife can either tell me what to do or how to do it, but she can't tell me both.
See, that's too confusing. Get out of here. You're like some new age Dr. Phil.
And meanwhile, his wife's down in the root cellar.
Hello. Hello, Brad.
Yes, gentlemen.
There's
one question that a man can never answer correctly.
Do I look good in this? Is this okay?
No, wrong.
Yeah, you can't.
Wrong is
there's only one answer.
You say you look fantastic.
Right.
You don't care if she's coming out with a burlap sack. Baby, you look great.
There is
okay, so you would buy Frida a $5,000 burlap sack because she thinks she looks good in it.
My friend, go to the closet at home. There's a closet full of $5,000 burlap sack.
Boy, you must be a rookie because you can't win that one. And I mean, I don't consider myself an expert on relationships, but you really can't answer that question with anything other than you look fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Helen?
Yeah.
Helen?
Helen?
Hi, Helen.
Hi, sweeties. Hey, listen, you guys are taking an awfully long time to hash this situation out, supposedly as much time as women take. So what's going on?
No, you know what this is? There are no shows out there that address the fact that women just are not as bright as men when it comes to problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
There are no shows. There's a ton of goddamn shows. Every time I turn on, Dr. Laura, Susie, Dr. Julie, it's the Dolans. Everything is women.
We have to make sure we make the right decision to keep you guys on track.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here. We can make
get
our own
decision.
I made my decision about you before I even picked up the phone. I knew you were going to be a bad caller.
Yeah, I got no friends here, Helen. Helen!
Helen!
And Helen, though, you're a fine caller. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
You're so sweet, Don.
Thank you. You just don't got it going on up here.
Yeah, and really, technically, when we're talking about intellectual activity, you're a wannabe.
Okay, thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
See you later.
You know, they had another term for it, I think, in the 60s or 70s. The P.E. term, you know, which is, you know, that part down there, envy.
Oh, right.
But, yes. But you know, really, no. What it is it's just, you know, wannabe. They want to be as smart.
Dave?
Yeah.
Dave?
Hey,
she's a separate issue, Rob.
Just pull out the whore card.
I didn't care for her.
Hello. She was fine.
No, she wasn't.
She wasn't,
Rob.
Hello. I'm Mike. Dave.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Yes, what?
Does Frida start talking and asking you questions during The Sopranos? No.
Here's what I have to say. She's fantastic about that. She does know when to shut up. When it's important, like The Sopranos.
It was important last night.
It really was. She didn't say a word. We didn't.
I really feel for anybody around the country that was trying to watch The Sopranos and whoever was, you know, if there was any kind of interruption, because that was the show.
As a matter of fact, I think the only conversation that the two of us had as we were watching the show last night was, oh, is that the bear? When it was Tony.
Right.
And I think maybe I might have broken the rule about talking. I might have said to her, I think Christopher's going to get whacked.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no. Listen, my girl's a beauty. My God, if only I could keep her like that at all times. Where all she did was just sit attentively down at my feet, and we would watch television together.
All times.
Hey, we did pick up a bit from The Sopranos, though, in our marriage relationship.
SWS2.
What's that?
Speak when spoken.
That's what we do. When someone is doing something that annoys the other person, we pull the Polly Walnuts and go, hey, no offense.
Hey, you know, they were big on that last night.
All due respect.
All due respect.
All due respect. All due respect.
Which is like what you say before you say get bent.
All due respect to you. All due respect to you. You look like a general.
I'm sorry, we got off on a tangent there. Mike with the shirt, me and the women that just don't listen. When we come back, let's do discuss The Sopranos.
Amen.
I liked it. Did you like it, Mike?
Loved it.
Buzz, did you like it?
Loved it.
Robbie?
Eh.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Good. We'll have a round table.
Are you there?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, he likes it.
Oh, you like it too. All right.
Very good.
Oh,
see
loved
you.
It.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks for calling.
All right, guys, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Chapter 4 on the economy.
First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
You bet I cut the taxes at the top. That encourages entrepreneurship. What we Republicans should stand for is growing the economy. We ought to make the pie higher.
See, without the tax relief package, there would have been a deficit, but there wouldn't have been the kick to our economy that occurred as a result of the tax relief.
I remember campaigning in Chicago, and one of the reporters said, would you ever deficit spend? I said, only in times of war, in times of economic insecurity as a result of a recession, or in times of national emergency. Never did I dream we'd have a trifecta.
A lot of fine print in your plan, Mr. Vice President, in all due respect. It is, I'm not so sure 80% of the people get the death tax. I know this, 100% will get it if I'm the president of this.
Our country puts $1 billion a year up to help feed the hungry. We're by far the most generous nation in the world when it comes to that, and I'm proud to report that. This isn't a contest of who's the most generous. I'm just telling you, as an aside, we're generous. We shouldn't be bragging about it, but we are. We say to seniors, we understand how important prescription drug coverage. So prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan.
There was a honest difference of opinion as to how to account for a complicated transaction.
Hello?
Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munchies.
Words are hard for them. Don and Mike.
Hey, listen, yes, he's dead. He'll be on the show today. We'll call the hotline to heaven.
Very good.
A couple of seconds here. Also, the hairdresser from American Idol.
Yeah.
And Ryan Seacrest's hairdresser will be joining us shortly.
Most of our questions will be about Ryan Seacrest's hair.
Sure. I have questions about everybody's hair, though.
Do you really?
Do I? I still remember all their names.
Fantastic.
All of the 12.
LaToya.
Some of the 12.
Fantasia.
John Stevens. JPL.
Just,
Diana DeGarmo.
I was going to get that.
And,
Jennifer Hudson.
Yes, she's a... And the big, dumb, country thing guy.
What was his name?
I don't know. What's his name, Rob?
I don't remember. And there's also a girl...
Who was the lady from Hawaii?
Oh, Jasmine Trias.
Jasmine Trias.
Anyway, we'll discuss that with this guy in a second here on the show. O.J. You know, here's the thing. If Reagan hadn't died this weekend, I guarantee you we'd be all over O.J. today.
I'm sure.
I don't know if you saw O.J. on TV on Friday night.
I did not.
No. I'm going to catch... You know what? Hold on. We'll start with The Sopranos, then we'll go to O.J.
Start with The Sopranos.
The pros, the cons. I liked it last night.
I did more than like it. It's... you want to talk about finishing up a season that... That's just the way to go out. I mean, tie it all up, and I think they tied it up more than they've ever done it before.
And you know, when we watched it last night, when my wife was being good and obedient, like I Dream of Jeannie, just sitting there and watching it, we weren't talking. I mean, we discussed it afterwards.
I feel like you're ramping yourself up for your birthday dinner tonight.
Mike, there's no need to ramp myself up when it's already the greatest thing. You know,
you think she'll be good and obedient at the birthday dinner tonight?
Oh, no. It's not, you know, it's like it's Christmas night.
That's sure.
Like, we're already past the tough stuff. Now it's all just eggnog and getting bombed and watching
turkey sandwiches.
Watching a bowl game.
Sleeping in front of the tube.
So we're watching The Sopranos and discussing it afterwards, and she said it was okay. And I said, I think... Just my opinion now, it was more than okay, and I've done my share of complaining about the show, but here's the thing, the show's been on 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's about a mobster. I mean, really after the second year, I think they went about everywhere that you could go, unless you just wanted to see a guy get his head blown off every week.
Here's the point right there. You see, they go everywhere they can go. They went back to the good old themes.
But Mike, I maintain that if it was more tension. But if it was that every week, you'd get tired of it. If every week somebody got killed off every week, maybe that's just you. or maybe it's just me.
You know how many times do you and I, seriously, when it's on, watch Casino?
Oh, always.
And what do we like most about Casino?
Oh, I know. Aren't you dead
it's
yet?
It's not the violence.
Oh, that's Goodfellas.
But it's... No, wait. It's not the violence.
When Joe Pesci hits the guy's eye with a pen.
It's in no way the violence. What it is the threat of the violence. The tension. The fact that these guys are cold-blooded killers. The fact that this underlying... The last plot line with Phil, the guy that had his... his son that got whacked?
Yeah.
Right. And he wanted to torture Steve Buscemi. That was the whole premise of this. And he's one of the great guys from a lot of these gangster movies, from Casino and from Goodfellas.
From Analyze That.
Analyze That. And there's this undertone throughout the whole show last night, which is what I like about that stuff. It's the danger. It's the thrill of what this life is all about. They finally focused on that, and you realize this is a mafia show. That's what I liked about it, and I wouldn't mind it if it was like that every week.
But it couldn't be. Just like it couldn't be.
You wouldn't have to whack a guy every week, but I think that element of it should exist every week. These are dangerous guys. These are, in many cases, guys that...
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, no, you couldn't do that. You got to have, at least if you and I are going to compromise, you'd have to have a better balance. Because I like, although I don't like getting beaten over the head, so I got to understand Tony's position.
I mean, I'm not saying you need a guy whacked every week, or you need that kind of gratuitous violence every week, but I think you have to have that kind of tension. A lot of the shows where they focused on, you know, Carm and Tony.
Uh-huh. Well, see, this is where, again, now, this is the discussion I got to do last night with my wife, that you go through the entire year. They had them separate at the end of last season. At the end of this season, they got back together. So they had some episodes that were crappy, and I thought they were crappy, too. The one
right
with Carmella getting naked and making out with a guy from school.
How about in the pool?
But really, that was bad, too. But really, when you think about it, regardless if the last episode was good or not, Jesus Christ, it was good enough that millions of people watched it.
Oh, and it's a great
and
show.
And millions of people talk about it. So if you ask me my opinion, I liked it. I don't know what else they could do. Name me another show that's been on TV for 5 years, hell, 2 years, and is not doing the same goddamn thing every single week.
You know, you're right. They did have episodes that weren't that good during the season. They
and
had
listen,
some that were better.
I hated the Dream episode.
Yes,
remember,
right.
I screamed about that, but they've got this time to fill.
But they still maintain a consistent product. And last night, I thought they stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it is a show, and I want to be entertained, and I want to have the loose ends tied up. And they did that, I think, more than that show in the whole 5 years they've been on. They did it more, except for probably the big pussy episode where they whacked him. Right?
Did you read Tom Shales over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I read Tom Shales today.
Tom Shales wrote over the weekend that part of the charm of The Sopranos, at least to him, is the fact that there are so many loose ends,
yeah,
which this guy, the David Chase, is that the guy's
Chase
name? The
right.
Brains behind it. Apparently, that's to let all of us little brains know that things like that happen in real life, too.
Right.
Where things happen and you don't get a resolution.
That's
well,
why,
you know,
and I can get plenty of that in real life and in my entertainment. I want the loose ends to be tied up, and they were tied up last night as best as they could be.
And here's a loose end.
I want you to share your observation, which I think, because you're good at that, you were the first one to start watching the show. You told us all about it mm-hmm. 5 years ago. And your observation about next season already, 10 years from now when they do the next season, is absolutely dead on. And I didn't even think of it. I was too busy going, hey, there he's walking into his house with wet shoes.
Well, you know, Johnny Sack is gone.
Right.
He didn't have to kill Steve Buscemi.
Right. Don said that to me, and I realized, there's right there. There's your
he's got
there's your
turmoil.
Dramatic tension because he never needed to kill his brother.
Because if Johnny Sack goes down, I didn't have to do it. He went up the river. I might waited one more weekend.
Right.
And also, here's another thing. Another loose end that I bet they'll never get to. They were alluding to the fact that AJ might be a homo.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
Absolutely. Because he likes decorating. And,
yeah.
Event planning.
Yeah, event planning. You know, that could be another one of the loose ends that they never get.
Well, and they addressed that, too, when he was at that party, and he kind of backed off, and he didn't get into the big, the Mafia Don's son didn't get into the fight with the kid.
I'll tell you what my favorite scene was. Paulie Walnuts in his apartment.
Fantastic.
And
I laughed out loud.
Paulie Walnut. And you have to TiVo it to go back and look at it.
It's a point of respect, Pete.
He has on these Puma pants, like from a 1970 jogging suit. And he has suspenders.
And a wife beater.
And a wife beater.
And still that hair that he's got. In his tiny little apartment with a picture of Tony's horse and Tony as the general. Poor Paulie Walnuts. He did have it up there because he respected,
tribute.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
It's a tribute, Pete. Tribute, and then he picked it up the ball and he turned it into garbage.
So everybody can call and complain about it if you choose to. I guess you could complain about everything with the
even made a comical with the bust of Johnny Sack at the end where I was laughing when Johnny Sack took that tumble at the very end where they're trying to run away and he has the face covered with snow. I was laughing out loud when that happened. It was great.
The product placement is starting to kill me.
See, yeah. I don't even notice that when I'm watching it.
There's a scene when they're bada bing yesterday.
Okay.
Last night, I'm saying like it's a real show. Mm-hmm. Last night, it's Tony sitting there, I don't know, it was Sill or someone's talking. All you see in the corner is that gigantic Rolling Rock sign. And you notice when Tony's watching the History Channel, every TV that Tony Soprano ever goes to, whether he's in a hotel or whether he's
Phillips.
It's always Phillips.
The Phillips TV.
Uh-huh. It's always
Phillips. That made me laugh, too, when he is sitting there, because one of the observations I made last night, he's really enjoying that ice cream. That was not a tough scene for him to do.
Oh, no.
I don't care how many takes they had to do.
Bring me another fresh bowl.
And there's always whipped cream.
Yeah.
There's always accoutrements with the ice cream.
Yes.
And I stand by the fact that the Phillips logo is made bigger on that show.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably.
Bigger than
on the TV. They actually put it on the bottom and they blow it up.
Huge Phillips logo.
But what a great show it is. Yeah. Regardless if you want to sit here and split hairs about it, go, oh, well, this should have happened, this should have happened. Point is, tell me something else that's on TV that's as riveting that we all watch right now.
I tried to watch that Deadwood again last night, and that show is lost on me. That show, to me, is just abysmally dark and dark for dark's sake. I mean, it is so, so nasty, you know. I mean, when they have the afflicted girl come over last night and she just walks up. They're in this scene and this scene has this woman who's afflicted and can hardly walk. And I guess it's the daughter of some guy. And she just walks up in the middle of the scene and says, "I'm knocked up." And walks away. It's just nasty.
Wow. I'm knocked up. I'm knocked up. I'm knocked up.
I don't know how the ratings are for Deadwood, how well it's
they
doing.
They stink.
But it's lost on
me. The ratings stink. All I know is at 10 o'clock, I turned to whatever the channel was because I don't know about you, but I have just not had enough Reagan coverage.
Yeah.
It's Sunday night at 10 o'clock, so I had to say, please, please.
Well, you know, really, with the Reagan coverage, you got to, with what we've been going through lately, I mean, Ronald Reagan, Republican or Democrat, had that rap, and I think that's the media is seizing on this. The media,
big no one.
The media who really didn't get along with President Reagan.
I'm going to be quiet. Sorry about
that. The media didn't get along with President Reagan that well, but they're, you know.
You know what I love? That the Bush White House.
Finally, a story, even though it's a death story, it's a story that is easier, better to report than everything else that's been in the media.
Right. Bush White House loves just slipping this in all these stories where they're talking about. You must remember that 20 years ago, people said Reagan was stupid, just like they say Bush is stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You must remember that 20 years ago, everybody thought Reagan was an idiot, just like we think Bush is an idiot now.
No, not right. The same thing. I hear a lot of that kind of thing.
I maintain, if Reagan hadn't died this weekend, we would have come in today screaming. We would have talked about Sopranos, but we would have been screaming about O.J. Mm-hmm. On TV on Friday night. He was on with Katie Couric, and a memo from Donnie, D-O-N-I, to Katie, K-A-T-I. If you want to come off as serious, don't wear your pink princess shoes when you're interviewing a guy who cut his head, well, wife's head off on TV. You know, she's sitting there looking like she's trying out to be Jackie Kennedy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting across from O.J., and what you want from Katie Couric at some point is for her to look at him and go, you are freaking disgusting. But she's got that whole thing about journalistic integrity, and I'm America's sweetheart, and I'm the Peter Pan.
Well, are you saying she softballed the interview a la Diane Sawyer?
I believe she did, but even with the softballing that she did, the stuff that O.J. said, the quotes that we had on the show on Friday, don't do him justice. You're watching this and going, he's out of his freaking mind. Like one of the questions, she finally asked a hard-hitting question. How are your kids doing? Oh, they're fine. They have the problems that any normal 17 or 18-year-old kids would have. What about their mother, the death of their mother? We never talk about it.
Yeah, I thought that was strange.
And he says that, and she doesn't do a follow-up.
Doesn't question
that. She doesn't say, like, Juice, don't you think that's weird?
Well, especially because his kids are old enough to be exposed to the media and hear all the hype.
You cut your wife's head off 10 years ago, and they don't talk about it, and you think it's okay? Juice? And also, Juice had some attorney, some low-rent attorney sitting next to him last night. Not a guy like Mr. Johnny.
No.
A guy that was like, have you been hit by an automobile? One of those guys sitting by him. And also, O.J., now I know he's got arthritis or whatever from football.
Mm-hmm.
On the retarded corrective shoes with the Velcro straps. Remember those kind that you had back in the day? O.J. says, hold on a second, the 10th anniversary now is this coming Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
O.J. says he can no longer afford the search for the real killers.
Oh, the money.
I no longer have the money. That's another thing he said.
How convenient.
He pays $16,000 to send his kids to a school in Miami. His daughter starts college next year. He's living on only $25,000 a year. If you had seen it, you would just be sick. Even though O.J. Can't do it himself, he hopes, and again, the real killers, the words that he kept using over and over, and she never challenged him on.
Did you get the impression, or did they touch on this during the interview at all?
He said, hold on, just let me tell
you
this.
Go ahead.
He said, I hope the real killers are found so I can gloat. Now, this was a quote from O.J.
See, that's weird right
now. You know, you would think, all right, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, even though I know you cut your wife's head off.
Right.
Okay. I hope that they find the real killer, so my soul, you know, you would think he would say something, so my soul is clear, so that
justice can be served.
Yeah, no, so I can gloat, so I can tell all of you people that I didn't do it.
Right.
That's his whole thing. Here's, hold on, thank you, I've got a paper now. My prayer is that it will be solved, so I can go to so many people that I felt I had to be nice to. I have always been a gracious winner and loser. Only this time, I don't think I would be so gracious.
Huh.
Hold on.
Weird. If it's all now about got, him.
Now I've got some. So here's the quote I'm just talking about. OJ, who said he'd never discussed Nicole's murder with the kids because they never asked.
Right.
Now, let me use my own personal situation here. My parents, God bless them, my adoptive parents, not God bless them, I hope they burn in hell, but they never killed anybody, but I was adopted when I was a kid. And you know this, you're a long-time listener of the show. When I finally found out that I was adopted, and I went to my parents, and I went to them and said, I will love you no matter what, unconditionally. You are my parents. I just want to know about my background. When I said, how come you never told me? The first thing they said is, you never asked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the same thing.
They never asked. Here's the quote from OJ. It never comes up with us about Nicole being dead.
Wow.
In the beginning, I wanted to sit down and talk to them about it, but the psychologist said to me, kids live for the future. One day in the future, they may want to talk about it, and you should be ready. OJ then said he took the kids out to dinner when they toasted what would have been their mom's 45th birthday. Juice. And also,
How weird.
Also, the last thing that he said right before the interview was something along the lines of, I'm a hero because people still count on me and people still embrace me. I'm embraced by people everywhere I go.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you get the impression that they talk about him, his income being about $25,000 a year. Do you get the impression that he's living off the goodwill of some of these jock sniffers that are still around him?
Got to be. And he's got to be one of these guys that's going to the show and signing the Buffalo Bills and getting some dough. And I think, Buzz, you had mentioned, I'm pretty sure they had to pay him to do these interviews, like NBC and CNN, because it wasn't his policy before he wouldn't do it unless they didn't pay him.
Right, yeah, he was asking $100,000, I think, for TV interviews.
Well, you know what, I know that would be a fantastic follow-up to actually find out if indeed NBC paid him for the interview. I'd like to know that. I'd like to know if they put money in his pocket.
It's their stated policy not to pay for interviews, but as you know, recently other deals are worked out to compensate the person for doing the interview. So.
And listen, I know we're running out of time. We got the Ryan Seacrest guy coming on the show. I got one other thing I wanted to tell you. Let's just go through these calls real quick. Brian, Don and Mike show. You got to go fast. Brian.
Hey, the only thing you forgot about the OJ thing is he said that the people that were helping him find her, those people can't find anybody to listen to their story anymore. So therefore, the whole thing's in a wrap.
Right, gotcha. Hello, Bob, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi, Don. Just have a question for you. I didn't get to see the interview. I was just curious. Do you think in his own sick, twisted mind, he's done this story so many times that he's convinced himself that there is other killers?
No. I think he knows. I think he knows, but I think it's a good rap that he's got going.
I think you can only create your own reality to a certain extent, and
who knows?
Not to that extent.
Here's the thing that I keep getting back to, though. If he didn't do it, 10 years later, why would you be? It's impossible that you'd be so stupid to say, I hope they find the killers so I can gloat.
And 10 years, I mean, no matter what, after this was all over, wouldn't you want to be as far away from a camera as a human being could possibly be?
Hey, man,
normally?
Hello.
I don't get it. Yeah, normally.
Dave, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I don't think that Katie Couric would have a chance to ask some of the tough questions because OJ's lawyer's sitting right there. I'm sure he went through all the questions.
But the lawyer said not one word. I mean, and if then that's bad editing on NBC's part if she asked tough questions and the lawyer said don't say anything because I watched it. The lawyer didn't say a goddamn thing.
There is this trend in these news magazines, especially on the network level, where the big catch is all about the hype and pre-promoting it. It's not about the interview. And I go back to the decrepit Mike Wallace, who in his day, if he had somebody in the hot seat, they were in the hot
boy,
seat.
Oh, yeah. Did they love dragging him out for that Reagan stuff? And NBC dragged out Andrea Mitchell. I'm telling you something. I've seen that broad in person before.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fine journalist. Don't get me wrong. She came all the way back, I believe, to FDR's
time. Back a ways.
But she has got the pockmarked skin.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, I mean, manhole covers. These
Who's worse, Andrea Mitchell or Nora Turner?
Andrea Mitchell.
And wow.
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
It's hard to see. You got to watch it in high def to see the pancake makeup that they throw on her.
Doesn't need to work either. Married to the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, right?
Right. Don and Mike show. Hello. Let's see. Karen. No?
Karen.
Karen? Oh, lost him. Henry, Don and Mike show. Henry.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, the thing about OJ is he didn't do it, but he knows who did because the check bounced. That's why the bloody glove showed up at his house and the blood got on his Bronco.
What? Come again?
Oh, I know. I know. I've heard that. I've heard that theory.
Is that a theory?
He paid to have it done, but the check bounced, so they had to go ahead and frame him.
That is a theory. That is a theory that he did not actually commit the murder, but he knows who did, and he paid. He was involved in it.
Hello, John. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Not to rehash on the Sopranos, but
that's all right.
How great was it to hear Paulie say, "Oh, Tony, you don't come visit me no more."
Oh, you know, you never come visit me, T.
You know what? That was a touching moment on
a real
that
moment,
show.
Yeah.
That was a moment where, you know, all those guys that were sitting around, including, you know, that's another loosen they don't go to. The guy that was speaking up at the birthday party.
Right.
The guy that was going
the guy that's the
south.
Gay, the gay guy, right.
Going south of the guard. They've never gone back to that again.
No, they haven't gone back.
Although he spoke out last night and Tony gave him the tap on the shoulder.
But Meadows' boyfriend's out of town now, right? He or maybe he didn't. Another loose end.
We just
another
don't know. Loose end. And then last thing, and B.A., I promise we'll get to the Ryan Seacrest guy. Give me 1 second. Just to tell you, speaking of B.A., our new producer, Beth Ann McBride, I'm not going to fire her because she was not able to get Leslie Moonves to come on the show, our new boss.
Thank God.
She foolishly believed the publicist last week who said, "Oh, Les would love to go on the Don and Mike show." And Les remembers being on the Don and Mike show, and he'd love to. So today she called me up. She's all upset. She says, "Well, Les can't do it this week. He's too busy, but they promise he'll do it next week." You know, he said, "Darling, don't believe them. You know, you're not fired. Don't worry about it." But that's lesson number one. Don't believe these publicists.
Mm-hmm.
However, maybe Leslie Moonves will come on our show now. Maybe he will, because I got a story about him that you might find interesting. He's the guy who's the president of CBS.
CBS Television.
And is now the president of Infinity Radio, since there was the shakeup at the top with Mel Karmazin leaving.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. If you're wondering if you work in Infinity Radio, the quote from Leslie Moonves this morning is, "It's all good about the future of CBS and Infinity."
Thank
goodness.
It's all good.
That was his quote.
That's all good, boys.
It's all good.
What a relief.
And then I have...
Nice speech.
Then I have this news. His girlfriend, as you know, this is not a secret, is Judy Chen.
Yes.
From the CBS Nobody's Watching show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's on top of the world now, Leslie Moonves, and we'd like to congratulate him. He's the new president or boss or whatever, chief bottle washer at Infinity Broadcasting. We'd like to call him. He won't return our calls. We are attempting to get a hold of his estranged wife, Nancy.
Ah.
And here's why. Mm-hmm. Nancy has had some problems with Leslie after 24 years of marriage.
Yeah.
They are divorcing. I'm quoting a New York paper here. Nancy, that's the wife, feels so hurt by Leslie's romance with Julie Chen that she and her family will not watch CBS.
Wow.
The quote now, this is from Les Moonves's soon-to-be ex-wife.
Right.
"Neither I nor our children have watched CBS in years. I don't want to see CBS. It's not healthy for me or my kids."
Sure. Wow.
How funny is that?
That is funny.
How funny is that?
I don't get a people meter.
So so I told Beth Ann, call back and tell Mr. Moonves we'd love to have him as a guest. And in case he can't join us, perhaps his wife, who loves talking to everybody, would like,
either one,
like to come on the show.
No problem.
That would be a death sentence, wouldn't it? having that girl on the show.
Yeah, I think somebody might get involved with that one. Yeah.
Wow, what a great quote, though. "I have not watched CBS in years. It's not healthy for me or my kids."
Very interesting.
Damn you! You mean the show brings back bad memories?
Sure.
You mean
for all of us.
You don't watch any of the CSIs?
You mean to tell me you deprive your family of watching Yes, Dear?
How horrible.
King of Queens?
Have you ever felt better after watching Judging Amy?
Not I. Anyway, how great is that?
That's amazing.
How great is that? And look at, there's a picture. Now, and this girl, Julie Chen, I don't know how she keeps her job at the network, but it's not a secret. There's a picture of the two of them out at some
I think they're out in the open with their romance,
right?
Right.
Right. Can you imagine if you're working on that morning show with her, how you would be like walking on eggshells?
Yeah, you don't want to say anything. Hey, you got a hair out of place. You're fired!
Yeah, you couldn't want to say anything about CBS sucking or anything, or the fact that, you know.
No, it'd be scary.
Everything, because everything has to be super.
But I think he's got to be aware of that, too, probably.
Leslie. Mm-hmm. Leslie Moonves.
That's right. And, well, who knows? Maybe someday he'll be on the show.
Excuse me. Julie Chen is walking on egg rolls. They're not walking on eggs.
Bada bing!
Walking on egg rolls. When we come back. It's a funny joke, Rob.
It is.
When
Rob, that's shocker.
Oh. Yeah. When we come back. the guy who's Ryan Seacrest's hair guy.
Yeah, and then the guy that's piped into everything with
American Idol. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Seacrest, out. Seacrest, out. Seacrest, out. Seacrest, out. Seacrest out. Seacrest out. Seacrest out. Seacrest out. Seacrest.
Okay, all right.
Out.
Okay.
It's on in my show.
Right.
Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Ryan Seacrest. Oh, I miss him.
I want him back.
I miss his show so much. American Idol is off the air.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not still obsessed on this show. And we have a chance now to have Ryan Seacrest's hairdresser on with us.
Do we have to wait 15 months for American Idol to come back?
American Idol is not like The Sopranos. No. It'll be back, I think, in February.
Well, that's good.
So let's call Dean Banowitz, who did the hair not only for Ryan Seacrest, but for all of the finalists on American Idol. And if you look in the new People magazine, the one that holds, you know, or Us magazine, I'm sorry, J-Lo, or hold on. No, it's Jen. Who the hell is this? Mm-hmm. Jennifer, is that J-Lo? Who's that?
That's J-Lo.
J-Lo.
Isn't it?
She just got married.
Yeah,
is that J-Lo?
Yeah.
She just married Mark Anthony over the weekend.
Right. And is it Mark Anthony or Anthony?
I think it's Anthony.
I think it's Anthony, too.
I think so.
Are we sure, though? I mean, it's spelled Anthony. How they pronounce it, I don't
Mark
know.
Anthony.
Isn't Mark Anthony. Isn't it Mark Anthony and Cleopatra?
Yes.
Cleopatra.
Mark Anthony.
Anyway, what do you got there?
It's spelled Anthony.
Anthony. Well, Anthony. Anyway, there she is on the cover of Us magazine. Here comes the
great
bride.
Picture.
I didn't even know that was Jennifer Lopez, because they call her Jen. Who calls her Jen?
I do.
But if you go inside...
Hello, Jen.
On page 30 of the new Us magazine, has an article about Diana DeGarmo,
yeah.
And the guy that we're going to have on the show here, the hairstylist, is quoted. Do you know now, not quoted from the hairstylist, but Diana DeGarmo had the most overbearing stage mother of anybody on the entire show.
Is that the big woman that they showed every week?
Mm-hmm.
Why she eats.
Brenda DeGarmo was overheard complaining after the show about there being a lot of things wrong with the production. But she's incredibly proud of her daughter, and she thinks her hair was wonderful.
Oh, and she was sitting there, you know, grinning every time they showed her on camera.
Sure. Right.
Well, maybe we can get some insights.
Yeah. So anyway, find out what the hell Ryan Seacrest does with his hair.
God, what is the deal? I mean, but he did make a statement with his hair.
Yes, he did. Statement, I don't know. Mike, you made a statement, too, by taking your shirt off and wearing that Australian hat.
What statement was that? I'm not sure what it is now that I've calmed down.
I think your statement was you're losing your mind.
I think you're right.
No. Hello, Dean?
Hello.
Dean, hi, it's Don and Mike. How
hi,
you
Dean.
Doing?
Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, my gosh, I wish we could have talked to you a couple of weeks ago. We could have commented on all of the hair. You did the hair for the finalists on American Idol?
Yeah, actually everybody except for Paula Abdul.
So Paula brings her own person in.
Yeah,
huh?
She's got her own troupe of divas.
And are you Ryan Seacrest's personal hair person?
Yeah, I'm pretty much solely, you know, the one responsible for his career and his hair.
His career and his hair.
If he had proper highlights, then his career took off.
Dude, what is, you're the guy behind the hair. What is the deal with the hair? What do you call that hair?
Brian's hair?
Yeah.
It's flat ironed every day.
Flat iron. All right, explain that. Really? Explain what flat iron is for people that might not know.
And you know, it's just a tool that straightens your hair.
Is that the thing where it looks like a couple of paddles, and you squeeze them together and
they look kind of like tongs.
Yeah, okay, I think I've seen that.
So is his hair curly to begin with, and
yeah,
you straighten
it's pretty
it?
Wavy. Looks like an old lady shampoo set.
Now, does...
Interesting.
Does he do this? Does he use these wands himself, or do you do his hair?
But you know, I actually tried to teach him how to use a flat iron, but he keeps burning himself. So he has me. I'm with him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
That's a cheery gig.
Do you do the work on his syndicated show?
Yeah.
But you don't. He doesn't have to get his hair done to do that morning radio show, does he?
Well, in the beginning, yeah, I had to do it a couple of times because they had press there.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Press there. Right. Can you imagine?
Morning.
Can you imagine?
So are you handling Ryan's hair every single day that he's working?
Yes.
Wow.
And wherever he is, I am.
We could use that treatment.
What can you tell us about Ryan Seacrest's hair that we didn't know? Is it oily?
Is it oily? No, he's got great hair, and he has a ton of hair.
Do you see a male pattern baldness anywhere in his future?
No, he has a ton of hair. No baldness.
Mm-hmm. No baldness. All right, please to explain the routine. Take us through step by step, because we're fascinated with it. Ryan's preparation for his hair. What do you do?
Well, you know, he has a whole faux hawk cut. Kind of cuts a little faux hawk into it.
Okay, hold on.
What?
It's not really a mohawk, it's a faux hawk.
A faux hawk, which means it's kind of spiked like, up in the middle.
Like a rooster hair.
Fake hawk, yeah.
Okay.
Like a mohawk, you know, not so dramatic.
Not so dramatic. All right. Yeah. So take us through the whole process.
So you put a little gel on it, you blow it dry, then I spray some hairspray on it, and then flat iron it so it stands up like Patti LaBelle's hair, and then comb through it.
And how long does it...
This guy's great.
Dean, how long does it take you to put Ryan Seacrest's hair together?
Well, if he sits still, I can get it done in about 10 minutes, which he never does. So it takes about 20 minutes to do.
He burns a lot. Now, you did all the finalists, and I really hope that you can do a little dishing here. Is there anybody who would be described as more difficult than
Before that, may I ask, what did you do when faced with the dilemma of John Peter Lewis? How do you make...
Amen.
Because that guy looked like a retarded boy. How do you make his hair look good?
John Peter Lewis, the Dancing Hobbit.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I cut his hair a little bit and flat ironed it. You know, but he's very Alfred E. Newman. So we have to, you know, kind of, you know, mix it up a bit.
And John Stevens, what about him?
Actually, John Stevens is one of the nicest kids that was there.
Okay, well, I think everybody agreed he was a nice kid.
Mike had a good question. I'm sorry that I cut him off. Who was the one?
Yeah, who was the problem child or had the problem, entourage? People that might have been a little bit difficult.
Well, you know, actually probably the most difficult contestant in American Idol history had to be Trinice last year.
Oh, yeah, but a lot of these guys didn't watch it last year. How about from this year's crop?
For this year, you know what? Actually, the and I never had a problem with her, but Diana DeGarmo's mother is quite the stage mom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, now we've heard that. We've actually read that.
Dean, isn't it funny to be taking critiques from a woman who looks like she's one step away from being lifted out of her house by a crane, like that guy Hambone on the Geraldo show? I mean, how do you possibly take direction from Yoda sitting there? Not Yoda. Who's the...
Jabba the Hutt.
You know what I meant. The guy...
But, the whole thing with
Roots
her...
for my daughter!
At the end of the day, it's her mother, and she's, you know, just wants the best for her. Right. She just... showered her with kindness and gave her free hair products, and she loved me.
There you go. Was LaToya the... she had very short hair, but was LaToya, because she's so pretty, was she one of the easiest people to work on?
You know what? If it was up to me, I would have put some more extensions in her hair, but she liked the short hair. So,
Dean, here's a real hair question. Are you responsible for straightening the hair of Jennifer Hudson?
Yeah. Well, okay, first of all, you guys don't know much about hair, do you?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because that was fake hair.
Oh, that was fake hair.
That was pro hair.
It was fake, so we took that hair out and put straight hair in.
Oh! So was it all fake? Is she wearing a wig?
It's a weave.
It's a weave?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a weave, so you just attach that hair. Oh, smart!
Yeah. Basically the same thing you do with Simon.
Actually Simon has a ton of hair.
So is Jennifer Hudson bald?
No, Jennifer's not bald.
Well, I didn't...
No, she just has...
No,
she
has to weave.
Back in the beginning...
Oh. I didn't know. She's like J.C. Hayward.
We don't know a lot about hair.
When you look at Jennifer Hudson, and when she had the big, you know, fro, it just makes her face look more round.
Uh-huh.
is he,
now, were you doing it? Were you doing it when Clay Aiken? Because obviously,
are you kidding? He owes me 10% of everything.
You know, really, and I got to give you your props on that because Clay Aiken, when
you
they
fixed
showed
that boy's hair,
you really did.
See those ears at the beginning of the show?
You transformed him. I mean, you did the best you could possibly do with him.
Well, you know, and the thing too was in the beginning, in the wild card show, I'm standing next to Miles, the wardrobe stylist, and we both look at each other and we're like, dude, we so have to prove our license this year. I mean, when you close your eyes and listen to him, it's really great. But when you open your eyes, you're like, oh, wow.
Hey, Dean, pleased to be answering this. Of any year, the first year, second year, or third year, the contestant with the most appreciable body odor. Because you're sitting there with them, you're doing their hair, right. Whether if they're nervous or maybe they're just not clean.
No, it probably had to be Nikki McKibben because she smoked like a chimney.
Oh, Nikki.
Wow. You know who I liked early on was, who's the chick with the purple hair? Was it Amy Adams?
Amy Adams, yeah. Love her.
Amy Adams. Now, was she in the show long enough that you got to work with her hair?
Oh, yeah, what color hair did you say?
I think she had purple hair one time.
Yeah, that's because I put the purple hair in.
Oh, you put the purple hair in.
There you go, being a
student. When they first get to Hollywood, when they make that transformation, is that when you take over completely? How many are you responsible?
Top 12 before I touch them.
The top 12.
Rightly so.
Before you touch them.
Yeah, because when the top 32 come in, I am so not going to commit them to memory until they're in the top 12.
Right.
And what about the Hawaiian girl? Did you finally get that flower out of her hair?
Finally deflowered Jasmine.
You Jasmine for you.
Wow.
You deflowered her.
How many stylists total do you have working for you?
I have myself, and then I have two assistants and one intern.
Now, Dean,
I would think that there would be a larger staff, especially when you have 12. That's got to take a while, especially with people all wanting to look their absolute best.
Yeah, it is tough.
Are you famous? Well, I mean, you're on our show, but that means nothing because anybody can get on our show.
Are you kidding? It means the world.
Right.
But are you famous now for being the hairstylist from American Idol?
You know, it filters in and out. It's always I'm in more demand during the show.
Aren't you worried that Ryan Seacrest's career, that one day Satan's going to wake up and say, hey, listen, Pinocchio, you know, dream is over.
Yes, it's over.
And then he's just going to have straw again coming out of his head.
But I guess it doesn't matter because it's not just Seacrest. It's everybody on the show.
Yeah. And then plus, you know, I do Lisa Gibbons and I do everything for Simon and I still work on Kimberly Locke all the time. I just started her album cover.
Mm, yeah, she's cute. What is Lisa Gibbons' hair like? I bet that's fantastic.
Yeah,
hair.
She's awesome.
I bet it always smells good even when it's dirty, right?
Yeah, she's the best.
Mm. Who's another one of your more famous people who you've taken care of, who we might know of?
Well...
Drop a name.
Well, I mean, most of them are from, you know, American Idol.
Okay.
They've been associated with that franchise since day one.
So they put you on the map, too.
Yeah.
Have you gotten inquiries since you've been involved with the show from other people in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Has Rick Dees called you?
No, Rick Dees is retired.
Yes.
No, well, listen. Rick Dees is retired. Who is your dream client, Dean?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there.
I would love to work on Ashley Judd. Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. And what about the guys? Who is somebody you could fix? Who is somebody you think you could...
I want to cut Donald Trump's hair off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Public
now,
service.
A good word for me.
Now, Dean, what would you do with James Gandolfini? Do you like...
I'd leave him alone.
You would leave him alone?
Okay. I mean, you're happy with that hair?
He's mean, isn't he?
What?
He's mean.
Well, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. No, he got mad when someone came on the side of the show.
The Queer Eye guys.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Hey, can I ask you, and this is a behind the scenes, getting away from hair for a second. That show, when I watched that show, especially towards the end, it would seem to me that they are literally working those kids to death based on what they produce for the show, the songs they have to memorize.
Oh, the Brady Bunch infomercial?
Oh, all that. Award? I mean, like in a week's time, it just seems pretty overwhelming. Do they keep a pretty grueling schedule when that show's going on?
Yeah, they can. They completely control their lives.
I would think so.
And there's no options.
Right.
And it's not like anybody has a choice.
Do you have a long-term deal with Ryan and Ryan's hair?
Yeah, I've been with Ryan for, probably I was with him probably for a year and a half before Idol even started.
I mean, do you have anything on paper with him, or at any moment could he just say, listen, I, you know, Vidal Sassoon's on the phone.
If he wants to kick me to the curb, I'll totally.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you
go.
So it's
you know
very,
what it is?
Very it's precarious.
Same, and nobody can replace me.
Never there work you go. Again.
All right. And all the, did you do the hair on the, like, the guests that they had? Like, did you do Barry Manilow's hair?
Oh, God, he is a piece of work.
Why is Barry Manilow a piece of work?
He's so much drama. Dude, Mandy, work through it and just sing it and get out. You know, and all these women, my aunts are calling, oh, my God, are you working with Barry? I'm like, okay, you need a reality check?
Okay. Well, Dean, thank you for your time. We really enjoyed talking to you. We're going to put you on our Rolodex, and, you know, we're following the career of Ryan Seacrest. And it, as the show goes along, his show, and if we have a hair question, may we call you in the future, sir?
By all means.
Thank you, Dean.
Well, you know, and I have my website is HollywoodHairGuy.com.
Oh, HollywoodHairGuy.com. You want to go there now, Buzz?
I do.
And Buzz is going to click on that right now and see what do we
it's
have.
All just dirt.
What do we have there, Buzz? Anybody good? No, oh, and listen.
They take your hairdresser everything.
Dean, I don't know a lot about Hollywood. I know a few people. I want to tell you, really, one bitch you want to stay away from, if you ever get the chance to do her hair, it's Leah Remini. from the King of Queens.
Yeah, beware.
Yeah. Nice.
Bitch on wheels.
Well, that's it. That's it. It's cemented now. Now the word's going to get out. Now we're in trouble.
It was funny because I've been called to work with J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
And with Christina.
Yes.
And I refuse to do either one of them because they're both biatches.
Hey! Ah. A little dirt at the end.
Oh, good for you.
You rock, Dean. Thank
good
you.
For you. Thank you for being on the show, Dean.
All right, you guys be good.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dean Banowitz.
Bye-bye.
I will not do J-Lo or Christina.
Oh, hold on. No.
Hey, no.
That was machine number six again.
Oh, nobody move.
Damn machine.
What is it with machine six?
I don't know. I was trying to get that thing going to say it's a phone scan time.
Very good.
I didn't have the...
You know, I mean, it was really rapid fire, but I mean, if you're keeping a record on things, he confirmed the Diana DeGarmo.
Right.
And then he threw that little throwaway, which I wish we had more time for, about Christina and J-Lo.
J-Lo.
The divas.
I didn't even, when I was asking about doing the hair of the guest judges, I wanted to ask if he did Clive Davis. But it might, you know, we could have taken that the other way.
And Clive doesn't have any hair.
Then Tony Robbins, though, and Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, you're on the website,
yes,
Buzz?
Yes, just checking out. And Linda Blair.
Hey, Linda Blair. Is there any porn on that site?
No, there isn't.
Oh, what a shame.
I'm not going there.
Let's go about, let's do a phone scan. Your phone calls, and we've had them on the show, but not in an organized line.
No way.
It's like a restarted Dover. Everybody, it's single file. Dial recklessly. Get in line to get on the air right now at 877-365-3636. Your calls on the rotating random phone scan.
Now, we've been in radio for a long time. How come we don't have our own personal stylist?
I have one answer for that.
What's that?
Would you like to look in a mirror with me?
I know we're fat and ugly, still.
I saw the looks on those girls' faces.
For real? Oh, when you were walking around without your shirt on today. Horrified!
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
Hey.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Possibly crooked. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah. let me just say we've got the hotline to heaven. We'll fire that thing up in a couple of seconds. Because really, there's just not been enough Reagan stuff on TV and the radio.
That's pretty amazing, and it ain't going to end soon.
No.
There's just not been enough. And today... And I already mentioned that Merv Griffin was a pallbearer.
Yes, you dare.
Bears repeating.
That would be the surreal fact of the
that
day.
That's too weird.
Ooh, Merv.
Up in the office, the you know, the story's not on. One Life to Live is not on. They come on with the ABC Bulletin, you know, as his body's on parade now.
A lot of people don't realize that Merv Griffin is a staple of this show and has been for years on a daily basis. I think people probably don't realize that we end the show with Merv every day.
The tape of Merv Griffin, right.
It's all been so, ooh.
He looked really puffy, and it's not good to see Merv sullen.
No.
It wasn't happy Merv.
No, and Merv's got to be happy because he's puffy.
This is the best. This is the best career move for him since he brought us Ainsley Harriott.
There you go, Ainsley.
So we'll talk with Reagan. Also, we're not going to have time today, but there obviously was a Wayne Newton special
right
on the History Channel that we taped, and we just played parts of it today. And for a long time, we wanted to go to WayneNewton.com. Okay, go there on your own tonight, check it out, and we'll chat about it tomorrow.
WayneNewton.com at the fans.
Here's another Wayne Newton moment.
Good.
Did you know that Johnny Carson used to make homo jokes about Wayne Newton?
I had no idea.
Huh. Listen to this.
Johnny Carson began a routine about Wayne that seemed to mock his masculinity.
Oh, your call's coming right up.
I've been on the show 20 times. Why would he be making those jokes about me? And he would say things like, I don't know if you've seen Wayne Newton and Liberace in the same bathtub, but it is pink.
The new Wayne Newton wasn't laughing along anymore.
That's right.
He went to Carson's studio unannounced and confronted him.
And I closed the door. And I said, I don't know why you're doing that kind of trash humor about me, but it better stop. And it better stop now or I'm going to knock you in your ass. It's that simple.
What?
I'm sorry it had to happen because I was a big fan of his. And maybe therein lies the real problem. I was hurt more than I was angered or felt threatened about my masculinity.
The jokes stopped.
If anyone sees it, it was on Bravo or whatever runs biography.
I said I'd go in and I'd kick your ass.
I invite anyone to see him and how he looks continually surprised.
Oh, because
it's a facelift. I don't think the man can blink anymore.
Listen, we've got all these Wayne Newton tapes.
Really?
We do. And we'll play not today, it's just teasing something for tomorrow's show.
He'd have fist fights. And I'd end up at the short end of that stick. I took up karate because I wanted to kill my brother.
And there you go. That's Wayne Newton.
So now, did he have the karate lessons before or after he threatened to kick Carson's ass?
Before.
Listen to tomorrow's episode, Buzz. Okay. We'll hear all of these tapes. We'll go to WayneNewton.com.
I had no idea he was so violent.
And you should also know, a phone scan time at 877-365-3636.
Just remember, the jokes stop now.
You should also know that on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, we have a new producer, Beth Ann McBride.
Yeah.
She's a good person.
VA. And every day she's got to get someone for us to have on the show. That's part of her job.
I saw her in the producer's room at JFK. And I said, the guests come now or I'll kick your ass.
She got the guy from American Idol, the hairdresser.
Right.
She's running into a bit of a problem with tomorrow. So here's what she's told me. What the booking she's got for tomorrow.
Yes.
According to Beth Ann, our producer, Beth Ann McBride, she only has one friend in the world.
Oh, really?
She only has one friend in
one
the world.
One friend?
And
hard to believe.
That's her booking for tomorrow's show.
Her only friend.
Her only friend.
I think that's
tomorrow.
That'll be fantastic at the Sands.
Phone scan right now. 877-365-3636.
The jokes stop now.
She's got a really great job of billboarding tomorrow's show. You want to tune in to hear the Wayne Newton tapes. And also hear our producer's only friend.
Hi, this is Wayne Newton. Please join Don and Mike tomorrow for a great show.
Thanks, homo.
It'll be, hey, the jokes stop now.
Or else what?
I will be listening tomorrow.
Yes?
For a twofold reason.
Why?
One, to make sure that you don't do any homo jokes about me.
Yes.
And I'd like to hear B.A.'s only friend.
Uh-huh. And what if we do homo jokes?
I will kick your ass. Even though I did look like a woman.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. Are you there?
Christina?
Yeah, hi. You're on the air. Hi, Christina.
Hi. I had a question for Rob A. How did his laser surgery for his hair removal go on Friday? Did he come out okay?
Honey, you got
wait a minute.
No, wait, we got us a bad listener here.
It was all live on the air.
Yep. I know, but what happened? I mean, is he okay now?
How's it going? Request denied.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Rob, regretfully, has passed.
Hello, Don and Mike show. And his body will lie in state.
Yes, do one thing.
At the Fair Oaks Mall.
Fair Oaks Mall, pay your respects to Rob.
Right by Annie Ann's.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, you there?
Yes, we're here. Hello there.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciated the guy from American Idol, but could you get the stylist from According to Jim?
Yeah, because that's a much better stylist.
Dream on.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, is it Don and Mike?
Yes, that's why I said Don and Mike show.
Oh, I thought it was The View. You guys crying about how much smarter men are than women earlier. You sounded like, what's his name, Lopez, Mario Lopez and Danny Bonaduce.
No!
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you really did.
What a horrible thing to say.
Absolutely right.
Let me ask you, hold on a second. Let me just ask you, are you involved with a woman?
For myself, I've been married for 15 years.
15 years.
That's
and
right.
You don't have the problem that the rest of us do, that when your wife asks you a question and you can immediately know what the answer is, you just can't jump in with it because she just won't shut up. She just won't.
I'm not going to disagree with you. You're absolutely right, but there's no place for that on this show.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Hey, listen,
did you just compare Don and Mike to Danny Bonaduce and Mario Lopez?
Don't forget that old guy. What's his name? Dick Clark.
I tell you, the jokes stop now. All right?
Or else what, Wayne?
Or else I will kick your ass.
can I tell you a real quick story, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, go ahead.
I participate.
Hello. Can I tell you a real quick story?
Hung up on your ass.
I love that.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
I'm a fan, man. I want to hear more Ardinger.
No, come on. Come on. We're kind of ODing on Joe.
It's not possible.
What, in the last couple of weeks? Oh, it is, Buzz.
And you never want to spotlight Joe on a Monday.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, that's true.
Hello, I hear the radio in the background. And, you know, for Joe, incidentally, Monday is simply known as Sunday B.
Yes.
There's Sunday A, and then there's Sunday B.
The dark side of Sunday.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
How's it going? Is this Don?
And Mike, hi.
And Mike, hi.
Hi, all right.
All right.
Okay,
hey, I just wanted to
here.
Know.
Sorry.
Did you happen to catch your buddy Dick doing the national anthem at the basketball game yesterday?
The Lakers game last night?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Who was it? I didn't see it.
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke sang the national anthem?
With a couple of other guys, yeah.
Really? You're kidding me. At the Lakers game?
At the Lakers game.
Was he doing his a cappella singing?
Yes, he was.
I can't. The Vantastics is the name of his group.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
I got to say, in Mike's defense, he's on the wrong side of the dirt.
Oh, was Jerry singing as well?
No. Just Dick.
Oh, so Dick was... So it was not...
Hold on, wait.
It was not an impressive performance?
Hold on, here's what I don't get. The NBA Finals, and albeit I turned it on late because it was on the same time as The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
Great watch the Lakers lose, though, in the very end. I can't believe for game one of the finals in Los Angeles at Staples Center.
That would have been a better
booking. They would have been better with the
Staples Center. That would have been better.
Yeah.
You mean
sure.
The best they could come up with is Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah.
And the Fantastic.
Well, get us a tape of that. Thank you, my friend. And there's a chime for you.
Have a good one.
Put that in your pocket.
I bet it was good harmony.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Oh, my God. When that guy asked you guys if you knew a lot about hair, I was praying to God you guys were going to say no, so thank you for that. I also want to give you guys a quick update. After listening to that maniac on the radio, on your show about 3 weeks ago, every morning I wake up, I sing a little show tune, and I stretch like a cat, and guess what? I'm more miserable than I've ever been in my life.
All right, that expert we had on the show, remember the guy that
lunatic.
Yeah.
You get up and you sing Broadway.
So, Mike, you were going to try that, too. Did it work out for you?
I do it every morning, sir. I'm right now working through the score of Oklahoma.
I felt an anger that I'd never felt in my entire life. And I called my attorney in Washington, and I said, I'm going after these bastards.
Wow. Tough guy.
I get up every morning, and I stretch like a cat, and I sing show tunes. You know why?
Why?
Because I want to kill my brother.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I heard that Van Dyke thing, too, last night, and let me tell you, you can pick his voice out from the four. And if you really pay attention a lot, you can tell that one guy was off, and it was him every time.
Oh, that's...
He sounded like garbage.
Hey. No, we can't, but thank you for asking.
Thanks for testing us.
Thank you.
That was coming.
Thank you for asking. God knows I'd love to spend hours of broadcast time discussing the body part that guy just brought up.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Wayne, yeah, sure. What? Go ahead.
Is it Wayne Newton?
My brother?
Yeah.
Jerry Newton, his life ends now. Jerry Newton? My brother, Jerry Newton.
What about your sister, Juice?
Juice Newton.
And your dad, Sir Isaac
Newton. I said, Dad, why did the apple fall? It's just fantastic.
And your dad said, shut up, faggot. And you said...
I said, the joke stopped now, or I'll kick your ass.
Oh, we are now simply patting.
I want to fix the bastards.
We're now simply patting while we wait for the delay to catch up.
I said to Travis Bickle.
The guy said a dirty word.
I said, Travis Bickle.
The phones are knocked out.
Please don't hit the delay. It's been done. It's been taken care of.
There we go. We're back up to speed.
His life ends now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Pleased to be asking for a bit of Uncle Cartoon impression, boy.
Well, no, first of all, how can I possibly do anything when you call me impression boy?
And pleased to be letting us run the show.
And pleased to understand I am a 44-year-old man, and just because I put on a silly hat and take my shirt off does not give you the right to disrespect me like that.
You tell him, boy.
His life ends now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don?
Yes, son of a bitch.
Yeah, oh, wow.
No, that was a Wayne Newton thing. I didn't mean that towards you.
It's not that. It's
although you'll have a chance to earn it during this call.
What do you want to say?
What was the guy? I had a question for Buzz about how much he charged for that interview for OJ or whatever. So what did they charge?
Yes, this is for Buzz.
I'll try to field this one, sir. TV, he was asking for $100,000 for TV interviews, but I'm not sure they'll pay that. I might have a new character based on this call.
All he's asking for is a candy bar?
Train of thought, man. You know, train of thought. Uh-huh. The guy that really just doesn't finish it. You know, why don't you do that thing that you did, you know, that thing that worked out that, you know, when you guys were talking to that guy, you know, what's his name?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Wait, can I say something?
You were almost the winner for the worst cell phone call of the day.
I want to say that I don't answer to anyone, especially my brother, Jerry Newt.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Got it, Mike. How y'all doing?
God, come on, please. You're killing me. What can we do for you?
Hello, my friend.
Just
and
up.
Like the wind, he's gone.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Go after the bastard.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
The jokes start now. Watch out, listeners. The jokes start now.
Here we go.
Hello.
Don and Mike, I had a question for Wayne Newton.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Mr. Wayne, I was one of the trips overseas when you came over on your big USO shows, and I actually got a glimpse of your wife, and I was wondering how the hell you scored such a lucky lady.
Hold on.
Thank you for your service to our country.
Hold on. I've got... If you really want to know, I've got the answer.
I said to my aide, there's the most gorgeous lady I've ever seen in my life. About four from ringside back. You cannot miss her. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and a smile that lights up this room. And I said, if you let her escape, don't come back.
Wow.
What an ass.
And then I fired the bastard.
What an ass. Hello. Don Mike Show.
Don Mike, buddy.
Hey, hi.
Hey, I wanted to talk to Mike real quick about his hat and his open shirt.
About Mike's...
His hat, open shirt.
His hat. And it wasn't an open shirt. It was shirt off.
I call
it... is for everybody.
I called my lawyer in Washington, D.C., and I said that regarding Jerry Newton, the laughs start now.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Hi. Did you see George Michael last night?
The gay singer or the orange newscaster?
The orange newscaster.
George Michael.
Bull riding.
What was he doing?
He was on professional bull riding. He was the announcer on the professional bull riding Live Network.
I'm aware of this, that somebody told me a couple weeks ago, somebody who works at Channel 4,
right,
said George Michael.
George Michael.
Finally, he got it. He does the sports on Channel 4 in D.C.
He loves the rodeo.
And he finally got a big shot with the network that he's on NBC, and I guess on this Outdoor Life Network, doing rodeo.
Yeah. He had on this fancy red cowboy shirt with the stitching and all, and he didn't have the hat, but he had the feet, you know.
And remember, he was in that awful movie with Luke Perry.
Eight seconds.
He kept calling and telling us it's going to be the movie that changes the world.
Uh-huh.
This movie about rodeo riding.
Sure, it changed the, who was it, Luke Perry?
Luke Perry.
Well, it changed the career of Luke Perry.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello. Hello?
Can I just say something?
Yes, Wayne.
He brings a touch of normalcy to the rodeo action.
Hello.
Like my brother, Jerry Newton.
Jerry Newton. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
after your talk with Bart last week, I went out and rented Bubba Hotep, and I wanted to get your review on it. Did you watch it?
You know, I've not seen it yet. My kid brought it home for me, and then he showed me, and I think Entertainment Weekly, it's like the magazine says it's the hottest movie of the summer.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. With Bruce Campbell playing Elvis and Ozzie Davis playing the late John F. Kennedy.
It's got some great one-liners.
I think it's trash.
Why?
I don't know. I just felt like saying that.
Hello, Todd and Mike show.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how are we doing?
Okay.
I'm up here in Vermont where you know that gay pride is high. And I just wanted to say I have nothing wrong with gay community at all. But
you have nothing wrong with gay community?
Not at all.
I have nothing wrong.
I think it's just wonderful.
I have nothing wrong with man who talks like Tarzan.
All right, and?
All I wanted to say is all we need to do from the gay community is get our damn rainbow back. You see what I'm saying here? I mean, they can have any color in the world, any combination, but we want our rainbow back. Rainbows are kind of cool, you know what I mean? I mean,
like
we don't have... We don't have our rainbows because the gays have taken the rainbows. Anytime if I want to hang a rainbow on my house, if I want to hang a rainbow on my car mirror,
hold on. If I could just stop for a second. Even if you took the fact out that it is, I'll give you that, it is the logo of gayness.
Symbol.
If you wanted to paint a rainbow on the side of your house, I'd still call you a homo.
Because the gays
No, you didn't hear what I said. Even if the gays had not taken a rainbow to be their logo, even if that had never happened, and I was driving down the road, and I saw some guy who had a rainbow painter on the side of his house.
Let me see if I've got this straight. Are you questioning my masculinity?
Do you have a rainbow on the side of your house?
Yes, I do. On the side of the barn where I keep my Arabian stallions. And the jokes stop now.
And I also wanted to say that all women are crazy. Some are just crazier.
Well, he is gay.
Okay. Can I just
Radio guys, have a good one.
Young man, you're filled with hate.
See ya. Bye-bye. Oh, he didn't even get a prize. Let's get one last caller.
I will sometimes wear a rainbow-themed Indian flavored...
I will sometimes... What was that bell? I will
giving away a prize.
Wear a rainbow-themed Indian-flavored tuxedo.
Hello, Todd and Mike.
Love you guys.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Okay, listen, if you want to say something, go ahead. Otherwise, I'll give you a prize.
All right. Wayne, this is your second cousin, Fig.
No. Now it's over. No. He's a comedian. No. Book. He can do the joke or he can take the prize. He chose the joke.
Request denied.
I'm not going to put that guy in the book. Hello, yeah. Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. I just wanted to let you know how I spent my National Freedom Memorial Day weekend.
You wanted to what?
She wants to tell you how she spent her Freedom Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, sure. Yes, the national holiday. La La Day.
I went to the NASCAR in Dover, Delaware.
Did you?
And in honor of Frida, I drank a Bacardi Limon.
That's
Bacardi Limon.
That would be for our engineer, but whatever. My wife enjoys Bacardi, and because you're the last person on this phone scan, you're the winner. What's your name, darling? Any idea?
Melissa.
Melissa, and you're from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Right on. Here you go. You've got tickets to see Van Halen live in concert, MCI Center, Friday, June 25.
Are you kidding?
No, and I heard this new song, the new Van Halen song online.
Oh, you've heard it? Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's available online. It's good.
Oh, good.
It's good.
Excellent.
It's good Van Hagar.
Is it Van Hagar?
Yes.
It is Van Hagar.
Oh, excellent.
Enjoy this. Go see Eddie Van Halen Friday, June 25th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster. You've won yours from Ticketmaster.com. Thank you for listening to the show.
Thank you guys so much. I love you.
Thank you. Love you. Hold on a second there, darling. When we come back, God, as I mentioned, what channel has not had this coverage about Dutch Reagan?
Yeah, and he's not happy about everything. Really.
No, and, well, listen, questions about what's going on between the ears, questions about what's going on below the belt,
right.
Questions about what's going on with Merv Griffin.
Yes.
We will have these questions answered.
Oh, good.
Don and Mike exclusive. As I'm going to announce this now, we will be the only radio show in the world talking to the dead Ronald Reagan.
Amen.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know. I only know that that's why I have said repeatedly that I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom of this and find out all that has happened. And so far, I've told you all that I know. And you know, the truth of the matter is, for quite some long time, all that you knew was what I told you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Be a dear and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
We mentioned the Staple Singers.
There they are. Well, Bulletin.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is dead. I think you've known that.
Yeah, unless your head was in the sand, you would be aware of that fact.
But get ready now for an exclusive.
Yeah.
Beyond all this stuff that you're seeing on TV, where... Oh, and a couple of quick comments about when it happened.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Gee, not that the networks were ready.
Mm, oh, they all had like, their pre...
yeah.
Like, you know, I listened to it on the radio.
Hey, yeah. 409, he's dead. Here's the gigantic 20-minute piece Sam Donaldson did like 3 years ago, just right. Waiting for the guy to croak.
Exactly. You know, Saturday morning there was a statement from Reagan's people or whoever runs the Reagan Library saying, mm-hmm. It's been a lot of talk about the former president being in ill health. You don't necessarily want to believe all that. That came out Saturday morning. It was right. On CNN.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
and
God.
On Saturday afternoon, I'm watching Fox. Now, I'm not talking about Fox News Channel.
No.
Here in D.C., I'm watching Channel 5,
mm-hmm.
The Fox station.
Right.
All right? Because I'm thinking that there's going to be racing on or whatever it is.
Fox.
And it's Fox. It's the garbage network. But because it's a Republican thing,
right?
Fox breaks in.
Sure.
Channel 5, wall-to-wall coverage.
Of course.
I go to Channel 4. I see Smarty Pants lose. I go to Channel 9.
Right.
They're still running the golf. The one channel that you would never expect would go all news.
Yeah, that's the politics of it right
Fox.
There.
Fox. Hey, and how about that Smarty Jones? Don't you all feel good that you wasted all that money on that dumb horse?
Don't you feel like I did, like maybe that jockey should have taken a look over his right shoulder a little earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked to me like he was surprised.
Yeah,
at the end, he was checking the left. Checking the left, checking the left, and all of a sudden that other... What was the horse that won? I forgot. I don't even remember the name.
It was Cinder Block or something like that.
It wasn't Rock Hard 10.
No, it was not. Although Rock Hard 10 was coming from behind.
Yeah, I thought it might be
it
the number five
hard.
Horse, right?
Yes. I don't know about you. I took a perverse bit of pleasure out of watching Smarty Jones lose.
Everybody thought that horse was going to win. And that's why the Triple Crown is so hard, because Belmont is just long enough where it really tests the horse.
All right.
He's the Triple Crown.
So the question is, did Reagan think that Smarty Jones was going to win?
Mm-hmm.
What is Ronald Reagan up to? How is his Alzheimer's now that he's passed on?
Mm-hmm.
Let me turn on the machine. And now we press this button, right?
Yeah.
And then we should have, joining us live, I believe he's in the spot between, he's in a loading area between the earth and heaven. Hello, Dutch?
Hello.
Hey, Dutch.
Hello, Will. Well, I'm up here already. I'm not in a loading area. I'm all the way in. They let me in with bells on.
Huh. So how's the...
I'm in heaven.
How's the Alzheimer's?
It's gone. Oh, you should know I'll tell you something about up here when you go on to the next life in heaven.
Yeah?
All your maladies that you had on Earth, well, they go away.
What's your name?
They go. Ronald Reagan.
Really? What was the state you were governor of?
I was governor of the state of California.
Who was your vice president?
My vice president, I'd rather not talk about because he fathered that other one.
Oh.
And he's making me very angry. I don't like the comparisons. Not one gosh darn bit.
Oh,
I don't care. And I'll tell you, you know, for quite some long time,
all you
knew is what I told you, that they're making comparisons between me and my presidency and that...
Say it.
Damn dummy.
Say it.
Well, in the words that you like to use, I'm not fond of that dumb one little bit. And if I hear any more of that, and I've got another bone to pick, if I may.
Sure.
Incidentally, may I say, Don, Mike?
Yes.
It's good to speak with you again. It's been too long.
You know, I'll say this.
For some long time, I wasn't able to.
I'll say this about the Reagans.
Yes.
They were the only... Mike and I have been doing the show in D.C. for 20 years. The Reagan administration...
Oh, you've stolen my thunder right there. I was going to thank you, and I was going to point out to you that, yes, Don, you're correct. In all the administrations that you've worked through, and my goodness, it's been a number of them now.
It's been a lot of them.
I will tell you that my administration... The only presidency was the Reagan presidency, where you and your partner, and I heard that shirt-off thing, I didn't care for it. I'll tell you, you're the only ones that were invited to the White House Easter egg roll, and that was during the Reagan administration. And I know that we've always had a special fondness for you since that time.
How's the incontinence now that you're up there?
Oh, nothing's wrong at all. Everything's 100% A-OK, except for one major problem that I'd like... Well, there's no one that's going to be able to correct it. When you're up here, you can get into people's minds, but you can't really get into the nuts and bolts of my own funeral. But
who agreed to let Merv Griffin carry my casket?
I think your wife and her giant Harry Carey glasses did.
I tell you.
Wait, what about all the flying around you're doing this week? They're going to put you in a box and fly you to D.C., and then they're going to put you in the Capitol for a couple of days. The people gawk at you, then they're going to put you in the cathedral, and then they're going to put you back in the box and put you back in the plane.
Well, I'll tell you, Don, and you know, hopefully you can understand these lofty concepts about heaven, earth, living, dying. I'll tell you right now that it's really not me in there, and it's me up here speaking with you, and I'm looking down at all the speeches, and it doesn't bother me, but it's great to give these fine citizens of the United States one last go-round.
Who's doing your makeup, incidentally?
No makeup up here. We're all makeup-free, including Lucy.
I meant when you're in the box. When you're in the box.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now that that box contains a 52-pound wax dummy. No, that's a joke. That was actually Elvis Aaron Presley.
Who's making you up? Who's making you up, though, in the box?
The same guy you talked to that did Ryan Seacrest's hair.
Really? The guy from American Idol?
Yes, doing a fine job, but it doesn't matter because everything's closed. I just hope that when Dum-Dum gives that eulogy for me, that he doesn't trip over his tongue like he has so many times. You know, as the great communicator, as I'm fond of calling myself, I will tell you I don't want the worst communicator to be speaking at my funeral, but of course, well, he is president. I suppose they have to do that.
Now, why can't you speak?
How are you, Don? Incidentally, that's a very nice tie with that blue shirt.
Well, yes, it's my...
I can actually see you all down there.
It's my wife's birthday. I got to dress up nice for going out tonight.
Well, can I say this, and I hope I'm not stepping on toes.
Sure.
W should get bent.
Wow.
Really. Why don't we let one of my Hollywood pals speak there at the funeral? Someone with a little entertainment value, you know? Well... Most of them are gone now, but I'd like to have a good entertainer speak. How about Wayne Newton?
Hey, did you know Johnny used to call him a fag on the Tonight Show?
Well, I heard the story, and then, well, it's a lovely story I like to tell, and I used to tell at state dinners that a long time ago, Johnny'd make gay jokes about Wayne Newton. And then Wayne went into Johnny's studio one day, unannounced, walked in and said, if you keep this up, well, I'll kick your rump. I'll kick your behind.
Say it.
I'll kick your wazoo.
Say it. You're dead. What do you care?
No, I still can't.
Say the word.
I'm kind of an old-fashioned...
Say ass.
I'll kick your ass.
Hey, way to go.
I did. I said it. By golly, I said it.
Good man.
Well, I certainly would like to say hi to all of my fans down there in Washington, D.C. and around the country during the Don and Mike Network, but if I could just say something on your behalf.
Sure.
There's been a lot of talk about censorship in the FCC, and I'd
Amen.
Like to say that, you know, it's freedom of speech that made this country great, so get off their backs and let them do what they want to do. I say, and I'm going to say this one final time.
Yes.
Please bring back strip trivia. I sure enjoyed that.
When
I take a moment away, and that's why I said, boy, that's a fine bit. Invite those boys to the Easter egg roll. And then, of course, you, Don, well, it got back to me. Well, you blew the whole thing by signing your eggs with the name Joe Blow.
Oh, I did.
You signed 30 to 40 eggs for the youngsters Joe Blow, and, well, it got back to me, and I unfortunately had to take you off the invite list.
The last 10 years. Do you remember the last 10 years?
Yes, I do.
Huh.
Yes, I do.
How was it?
It was kind of a drag, to be perfectly honest with you. I really was in and out, there and not there, and it really was just biding my time to go to leave this earthly plane
can
and
you
be
see
up
out
where
this,
I am right
you
now.
You see out this window?
Yes. How about those cicadas?
Will
the cicadas be gone by the time I get to D.C.?
What are those gigantic things outside in the front lawn?
Oh, you're making that joke like you did the first time it was revealed that I had Alzheimer's.
Well, what are those?
I'll tell you.
What are they?
Jokes stop now, or I'll come down from heaven and I'll kick your ass.
But what are they?
Those are trees.
Those are trees.
These bushes, and, you know, they're those curly-cue shrubs that man with the questionable sexuality put in front of your yard. I'm talking, of course, about Bob Skin. A good Republican and a loyal supporter. That's right. On the bright side, I never minded reruns. That's for sure. It's good to be with all of you, and of course, you'll all be paying tribute. And,
I'm still thinking about Bob Skin's sexual orientation.
Well, I met him one time, and I say, well, I understand you've got a wife and kids, but you sure sound a little gay. But that's okay, as I like to say when I used to watch Seinfeld. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, hi,
if you would tell us...
How are you?
I'm well. Brief time
May
we
I
have
just
left.
Say a personal greeting to your newsman?
Sure.
Well, thank you.
We go back a long way together, your newsman and I.
Well, that's true.
Buzz Burbank was there when I was coming up through the ranks and I was working for Voice of America.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz was the senior correspondent.
That's right.
And I went into his office and he looked at me and said, well, aren't you a young whippersnapper? At the time, I was a mere lad of 18.
You're a punk kid.
Buzz was a veteran 40-year-old journalist.
Right.
Buzz said to me, I'll take you under my wing and teach you the ropes. And he had just gotten back from World War II,
uh-huh.
And was doing a fine job. I used to carouse with Buzz and Errol Flynn back on the MGM mod.
We had some fun, didn't we?
It was big fun.
Yeah.
Buzz, I'll miss you more than anybody else, and it's just amazing that at the age of 103, you're still going.
I got him fooled, aren't I?
Godspeed, Buzz, and good luck with the secret that I gave you, the secret nobody knows about.
I'll keep it.
Now that I've passed away, I can probably share.
Oh, sure, what is that secret?
Well, the truth is about your newsman, I taught him everything there is to know about coloring his hair.
Wow.
I colored mine
for
you.
We knew it. We knew he dyed his hair.
Now it's official, and I hear you're playing me out. I want to say so long, and you know, for quite some long time, I've wanted to say so long.
Now, if I go down to the Capitol and stand in line...
Please do.
And I'm standing next to you in the box. First of all, how close can I get to you in that
Not
box?
Not close at all. No. We don't want the rabble getting close to me, but you can go pay your respects. But, Don,
yes.
I already got your request submitted to my office up here in heaven.
Yeah.
We will not be issuing VIP passes.
Oh, come on!
Not for disc jockeys.
Come on!
No, but I'll tell you what I'll send you.
I want to get behind the velvet rope with you.
How about I send you a nice big jar of jelly beans? You love that part of my presidency. The fact that I had jelly beans on the desk, and I'll send them to you. How does that sound? I just sounded like Max Baer. There you go.
When you knew it was time...
Can I tell you something? Up here in heaven, my hair is as black as coal.
Wow.
When you knew it was time...
Yes.
Does God come and get you, or did...
No.
Who got you?
It's just like you read about in the books, or, well, see in the movies.
Yeah.
It's a white light, and you travel up to the white light, and then you're back in the best body you ever had. You're thinking clearly, and everything is wonderful. I'd like to reassure anyone who's planning on dying this weekend... that everything is going to be just fine.
Good.
And you know, when they hear it from me, they'll believe it because, of course, well, I'm the great communicator.
Sure.
Well, thanks for taking the time. You know what I like to do is...
Can I give props to the people that gave me the airport, too?
Sure.
And a big hello to your engineer, Wendell Hall.
He's a good Republican.
He's a good boy.
You know what? Maybe this week when you're on the box downtown here in D.C.,
yes.
If we get you one of those lavalier microphones, we can chat with you while you're inside the box.
Be glad to. Anytime you want to chat, you just go ahead. But just remember, you're speaking to the essence of me up above in heaven, and that's for all the people that might be concerned where I sit. Happily right now.
Gotcha.
Thank you so much, Don. And that's a great tie ensemble you have. And please, on this weekend of national remembrance of the most important person in the United States,
yeah.
I'm talking about your wife, Frida, may I please say happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's nice.
Get her a nice present.
Yes, okay, I've done that.
I sure know O'Mara didn't. Bastard. Bye.
But see, he didn't have to get my wife a present. That's just something that he said.
Oh, foolish poppycock. He's a bastard. And he can show his nipples all over America.
Are you partying up there with all the other dead presidents?
Well, no. We're having a quiet dinner tonight with William Holden. Should be a very good time. And, of course, Bob Hope is going to be welcoming me with a big show with all my favorite stars.
What about that ex-wife, Jane Wyman? Is she up there, or is she still...
I don't worry about her. It's only people you've touched on Earth that made a positive impact. I don't worry about much of that at all.
But is she up there?
I believe so, yes.
Are you going to tap that thing?
No, of course not. Why? That's the kind of stuff that'll get you in trouble. In a world.
Strictly forbidden.
Strictly forbidden.
Found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz Burbank, good news.
He made it up.
Hey, you know what I was also noticing today?
What's that?
How much Nancy's starting to look like Harry Potter.
I understand. Well, she likes the books. So do I.
She's got the big Harry Carey glasses.
Yes, those those are wonderful glasses. Now, those are fighting words again, and I'll come down and I'll, why, well, I'll punch you right in the kisser. Just like Wayne and Johnny. No problem at all.
Buzz?
Yes.
Bye.
Buzz, oh, hold on. Wait till we're done with this break for a second.
La, la, la.
Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, all of a sudden, Friday is a national holiday.
Well, look at this. I can float.
Why do you think Friday's a national holiday?
I know. It's because of, well, I want to be modest like I always was. Frida's birthday.
No, it's because of you, I think.
For you.
Well, bully. Bully for me.
And really, last thing, we got 5 seconds left. Words of wisdom for our current president.
Words of wisdom for our current president.
Yes.
Three.
Okay.
Three big ones.
Go.
Read a book.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Ronnie, dead Ronnie?
Yes.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Now operating with a 7-day delay. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The monkeys.
Time for Buzz, 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 Buzz. Brought to you by Smoke Break. Hey, smokers.
This is good smoke.
Break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Hold on, this guy with a problem.
Yeah.
He's going to call out for his lover here. Wait a minute. And...
Oh, John.
There it is.
I love that joke.
Yeah, John never comes.
Nope.
So to speak. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. As America prepared itself for a state funeral, President Bush declared Friday a national holiday. It is, of course, to remember former President Ronald Reagan, who died Saturday of Alzheimer's at the age of 93.
If I could just break
is this permanent? No, I not yet, anyway.
If I could just break in for a second here. I understand that here in D.C., the federal government has been given the day off because it'll clog the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I must ask this, and don't think that I'm piggy.
Okay.
Does this mean that we get Friday off?
I would think so. I think it would be appropriate. To honor the former.
I really do think it would be appropriate.
In this town, I think it would be appropriate. Yeah.
God. I think people would crucify us.
You think so?
Friday off.
I think it would be.
Because people would know we're not taking Friday off to honor Reagan. We're taking Friday off for another goddamn 3-day weekend.
Be realistic. Do you really think you two guys could make people laugh on Friday?
I don't think so, Rob.
No. I don't either.
No.
I know I won't be in a mood to laugh.
I don't think so.
I'd like to be at home with my thoughts.
Amen. Me
well,
too.
As far as I'm concerned, it's still a regular good. Come on to work day. Come on.
All right.
Much as I'd love that.
Well, it's not your decision, though. It's the company's decision.
No, it's the president's decision.
It is the president's decision. That's right.
Well, I'm pretty sure that... Remember...
Oh, I'm getting a vision.
This is the company...
Are we calling Alan?
Yeah. This is the company that had to...
Calling the worst guy in the world to call. But.
This company had to get backed into a friggin' corner to give Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was like, okay, we'll give you Martin Luther King Day, but then you don't get... With President's Day? Was that it?
Right.
Like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. One or the other.
What does he know?
Hello, this is Alan Limewan.
This is the Alan Limewan.
WJFK Radio.
Yeah.
I'm unavailable right now.
Oui.
Just leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you.
Poor old Alan.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Get bent.
Oh, I got for him.
Okay, Buzz.
So Friday is now a federal holiday, at least this year, to honor Reagan. Most government offices, except those involved in national security, will be closed. Many businesses are expected to follow suit. No word yet on whether there'll be an annual Reagan Day or whether the existing President's Day will be considered enough.
You see, if we had a Reagan Day, the thing is, it's if it was going to be around the time that he died, it's tough because we're just coming off the Memorial Day weekend.
I think Buzz is right. I think what it would be is President's Day. I mean, that's what it's for. And, you know, and really, I mean, if you did this, you'd have to, you know, reevaluate every president that's come along.
Lincoln and Washington would want their birthdays
back. It's not unusual also to have a national holiday on a state funeral day, and the last one was 30 years ago.
That's right. So this is a one-time special occasion.
I tell you what really is not unusual.
What?
To be loved by anyone.
No.
Not unusual to have fun with anyone.
Whoa.
Did they do a holiday for Nixon's funeral?
I don't think they did.
No, because Nixon was a crook.
Vilified.
Oh.
Yeah. Right.
I thought now he was a genius. I can never keep
I think the last state funeral... Well, I mean, they had state... Did Nixon have a state funeral?
I'm sure as a former president,
aren't they all around for a long time?
Aren't they doing
because
the
they said the last? No, because they said the last state funeral was 30 years ago.
Isn't
for Lyndon Johnson?
Mm-hmm. And isn't the thing they're going to be doing like taking him in the horse carriage down,
which they did with
Pennsylvania
Johnson
Avenue?
Yeah. Right, so I don't think Nixon. I think that was 30 years ago with Lyndon Johnson.
Okay.
It'll be a week of eulogizing, of course, inspiring speeches. He made significant positive contributions while serving as president, but not everyone remembers Reagan fondly. Gay rights activists say it's ironic Reagan died on the 21st anniversary of the first reports of AIDS in this country, because they say Reagan did little to fight the deadly disease and seemed unsympathetic to that cause. Quoting one activist, "I have a feeling an awful lot of people are going to be cheering, 'Ding dong, the witch is dead.'"
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Like that.
Ding dong.
That's how it'll sound, too.
And how about, which one of his sons is the ballet dancer?
Michael.
Michael, that's right.
Is it?
No?
Yes, it is Michael. And which one is the one that's...
Ron Jr.
Ron Jr., yeah.
Which one's adopted?
Michael is the adopted, and he's the disc jockey.
Okay, right. So, he's the one... Thank you for the help, Robin.
That's funny to put it that way.
He's the one that I saw on NBC. I get, you know, they're all doing the tributes.
Of course.
Last night I was floating by one of them. It was after The Sopranos, so it was like maybe MSNBC. Anyway, they had Reagan's son. It was Reagan's adopted son.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking him memories of his father.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was an odd one that they chose. I swear to crazy what the guy said. He said, "My dad, when I was a kid, he had nicknames for all the other kids."
Hmm. Right.
"But he didn't have a nickname for me until he started calling me a certain nickname. And I loved the fact that he called me the nickname, and I went to school and told all my friends that my dad called me this nickname."
Mm-hmm.
You know what it was?
No,
what's that?
Schmuck.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Wow.
Saw it last night on MSNBC. The guy's sitting there, he says, "So I go to school and tell all my friends, hey, my daddy calls me schmuck."
Term of endearment.
He was proud, I swear to God.
Wow.
Last night on TV.
That's an interesting one. From our Homeland Insecurity Department, you know that undisclosed location Vice President Dick Cheney went to after the 9/11 attack?
Do I?
Well, it's been disclosed. But it was everyone's first guess anyway.
When was it?
A new book says Cheney spent several weeks in an underground bunker 7 miles outside of Camp David in Maryland.
Sexy.
Site R. The
party room.
Government.
Sexy.
Party room.
The government calls it Site R.
Cheney in the house.
Unofficially, the party
Start
room.
Start the movies, baby.
I think that's where they used to keep the pirates.
Site R.
R. Intelligence expert James Bamford says it is, quote, a secret world of 5 buildings, each 3 stories tall, computer-filled caverns, and a subterranean water reservoir. Excerpts from the book A Pretext for War are in the new issue of Time magazine.
Well, how did it get out now?
Well, I mean, I think we've always known the bunker was there, and I think a lot of us assumed that's where they put him when 9/11 occurred.
Well,
and every
they're not
going to
put him there anymore.
Well,
I'm Dick Cheney. I'm Dick Cheney. Listen to me now. It's like Vegas. What happens in the bunker stays in the bunker.
The party room.
Don't forget the kegerator's open. I'm Dick Cheney, the next president of the United States.
Sexy.
Or current.
Damn sexy.
The National Enquirer is sticking to its story about O.J.'s daughter, Sydney, overhearing him confess to the murder of her mother. Now, the tabloid says Sydney attacked O.J. after hearing this and threatened suicide.
You know what I would like to just take a moment to say?
Yes.
Love Sydney.
Of course.
And that kind of a turnaround tribute to Tony Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The paper says the 18-year-old threatened to drive off a bridge.
You know, Reagan didn't like that show. Love Sydney.
No.
Because he had a gay guy on.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Love Sydney.
Love Sydney. Tony Randall played a gay guy.
OJ and daughter Sydney were reportedly arguing over her plans for college when, according to the tabloid, she blew up on him.
Wow.
Well, now, according to...
Well, they're not backing down, and as you said before, they check their sources a little
They've
bit
They've been
more
much more careful these days.
And when I saw him on with Katie Couric on Friday night, that was the question, what about your kids? What about them?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing fine. What about talking about your mother?
They never ask.
They never ask about
they
it.
They never ask.
Right.
There's another lie.
Yeah. Pookie.
They said it would never last, and then they put money on it. Bookies say J-Lo's surprise marriage to singer Mark Anthony won't last through the end of the year. They put the odds of quick failure at 3-1.
I'd take that bet.
Sure.
I would really take that bet.
The 33-year-old Lopez has already been married twice before and nearly married Ben Affleck. Odds makers say it's 4-1 in favor of her still marrying Affleck before this year is over.
Listen, what is it with a girl like Jennifer Lopez? What is it that she has to be married?
It's so easy to understand. Nutty in the head, nutty in the bed.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's, you got to use crazy.
Crazy in the head.
Yeah, you're right.
Crazy
right.
in the head, crazy in the
crazy,
bed.
Not nutty wrong.
I wrote it down right. I just said it wrong.
But what is it about her? She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's nutty. Talented. She's nutty. She's nutty.
Nutty in the bed.
She's nutty. She's funny. She's
like sleeping with Goofy.
She's everything.
Nutty in the bed.
But why would you possibly, if you're her, why would you want to go out again and say, you know what? That marriage to Sean Puffy Combs didn't work out. The thing with Ben Affleck. You know what? Mark Anthony. I'm like, let's get married.
She was never married to Puffy, though, was she?
No, I don't. But she was going to get married.
Right.
She was I mean, there have been rumors of her getting married. And then she was married to the dancer.
You know what
right?
I think? I think Milady just likes to be cherished. They love the weddings. Milady likes to be the center of attention and the center of cherishedness.
Cherished dumb.
This cherished dumb.
Cherished dumb.
Mark Anthony.
I don't know.
Mark Anthony's fresh off a quickie divorce to his only previous wife, a former Miss Universe.
Well, no, he's not trying. It's only his second marriage.
Oh, he's trying now. Odds makers say it's 10-1. J-Lo will marry at least 8 times in her life, a la Liz Taylor.
She'll cast her spell on men.
Now, could you go to Vegas and find a book who would take that bet?
Yes, you could.
Did you really?
It's out there.
You can bet on. Remember, we had that story. You can bet on anything.
Bet on anything. I guess so. Yeah, but boy, you really got to wait a while. Well, no, maybe you don't have to wait
London
a while.
Where you can really bet on anything,
right?
That telemarketer you just spoke unkindly to may have been your next boss calling. Employers are getting trickier at screening job applicants, and one of their techniques is seeing how calm you are at dealing with annoyances like telemarketers. Or human resources folk pretending to be telemarketers.
Oh, man, God forbid. I mean, don't go to work for a company like that. That's paranoia of the highest order.
Listen to this. Other things they do to test you include making you wait for the interview, dropping a pen to see if you'll pick it up.
Alan's does with a penny.
Asking you to drive.
The only way you pass is if you die for it.
You got to fight him for it.
You got to hit the dirt wrestling. And they ask you in some cases to drive the interviewer someplace to see how you fare in traffic with your temper and your mood. And also spilling something on you to see how you react.
So they just try to piss you off.
330 degrees.
You put on your best clothes.
They just try to piss you off to see how you're going
to
react.
Yeah, to see if you stay calm.
You and I would not do well.
We would not. But let me just say, they should use that plan here. Oh, hold on. Let's break. Let's get another thought from Wayne Newton.
I felt an anger that I had never felt in my entire life.
Let me say, this was after Wayne Newton went to one of these job interviews Buzz is talking about.
I felt an anger that I had never felt in my entire life.
Yes, Wayne.
And I called my attorney in Washington, and I said, I'm going after these bastards.
You hear that. He didn't like
about the job interview people.
He came in wearing his gigantic spacesuit, and somebody spilled a coffee, a Starbucks on him.
Well, what I thought was it was intentional. I really thought it was intentional.
Sure.
Did you really, homo?
Yeah, and I, hey, what? Those jokes stop now. Okay? Or
what?
Or I'll kick your ass.
Wayne Newton. Career experts say that even if you have a good interview with the right clothes and the right resume, one of these sneaky tests could be your undoing.
That's nasty.
What would Jesus eat? That is the thinking behind the latest diet craze among Christians.
Now, Jesus now or Jesus then?
Either way.
Well, because
then, or then if he came back today,
then his choices were limited.
No, under this diet, it makes no difference.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, Wayne.
Jerry Newton loved Jesus.
That's your brother.
Your brother.
Thank you.
And yet, you wanted to kill him.
That's why I learned karate.
Ah.
I bet Jesus would be real into pizza, thin crust.
Mm-mm. No, not a no.
Wings.
Don't think so.
Wings.
No, wrong again.
Steak?
No. The body's a temple. He would eat only good things.
Pita bread.
Come on. He'd be a health food nut?
Exactly.
Would Jesus be on Atkins?
Maybe a modified version of that, depending on which Christian diet you follow. According to the reverend who teaches the gospel of good eating, the Bible's book of Genesis.
Oh, please.
He says the Bible's book of Genesis teaches us that we should eat no animal products except honey. And that 80% of what we eat should be raw, not cooked. He calls it the Hallelujah Diet.
He needs to get laid.
A more liberal doctor, and I don't know, maybe it's Methodist, encourages...
And maybe he's one of those priests who can't legally get laid. I don't know.
Hey, you just threw a plug in for your own religion.
Well, not really a plug, more of a friendly jab. A more liberal doctrine encourages eating meat and dairy, unlike the first diet I told you about.
I think Jesus would be Coke over Pepsi, but here's an upset. Jesus would be Burger King over McDonald's, and I also...
Why? Yeah, give a reason for it. Yeah. Explain yourself.
No reason. And also, Jesus would be Adidas over Nike. Also...
No, Jesus would be K-Swiss.
Mike, Jesus... I hate to keep bringing up the word today. I won't... Jesus is not a sissy. I don't want to use the ugly word. The ugly word. Yeah, that gets Wayne Newton.
He wore sandals, anyway.
And listen...
Yeah.
There's nothing sissy about K-Swiss.
That's only because you wear them. And I'm not talking to Wayne now. I'm talking to Mike.
Mike wears K-Swiss.
Mike does.
So this
okay, other... I'll say it before anyone else
all right. Say it.
Mike is a sissy.
Oh, Wayne.
Hey, if you say that again,
yeah,
I'll give you $5. I'm not going to kick your ass.
Jokes. Hey, stop now.
Jokes stop now. So no, I think Jesus would be big into fast food.
No, they say health
food. Taco Bell.
Health food.
BS. He's God's son. He can eat anything he wants.
A lot of fresh food, very carefully selected meat.
Can you imagine your Jesus? You go to the grocery store. You don't even bother looking at the thing to see carbohydrates or fat. You go, hey, I'm Jesus. Bring it on.
I can eat anything I want.
No, every week would be the same thing at the grocery store. 5 loaves and 3 fishes.
Bada bing.
Plenty.
Bible humor.
I can eat 50 eggs.
How much time? I watched that over the weekend.
An hour.
That was on TV over the weekend. And I watched that scene, the Luke eats 50 eggs scene. Classic. Well, the second Christian diet encourages eating meat and dairy so long as the dairy is not pasteurized and defatted and chock full of hormones. The secular diet industry already rakes in about $40 billion a year. Some have accused these diet guys in the Christian religion of trying to cash in on that.
You got to ask me, what's a hormone?
What's a hormone?
Stop hitting me! I'll pay you! Thank you.
Ow. You're here all week. That was like kind of a Joe Bester delivery there.
Kind of.
Don't hurt me.
Yeah, Buzz, what's next?
Six-pack abs without the work.
Oh, well, here you go.
Well, we all saw those earlier today, didn't we? Yeah.
Now we're listening. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating.
There's Merv.
And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
Merv Griffin.
Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Dude Walker.
Everybody likes this one.
Rob hooked up his new microphone.
Yeah, and I'm getting to use it. You know, it sounds good.
Yeah, it's cool.
It doesn't sound that different from the other one.
Here, Buzz.
Does it? Rob's mental. Let me just tell you something.
He collects microphones. I'm speaking to you right now through a microphone that was built when, Rob?
1950.
Wow. 1950.
Those were the days, weren't they?
So here's what's going on in Rob's life. His wife will call my wife and will say... You know, like everybody, our money's tight. You know, the station needs to pay more money.
Of course.
Blah, blah, blah. We got a lot of bills to pay. We got two kids. Mm-hmm. And then I will hear Frida say something like, well, that's just ridiculous. And she hangs, what's ridiculous? Do you know how much money Robbie spent to buy that antique microphone?
Right.
And
but now that I've used it, it's a business expense.
That's right.
True.
Why did you buy it, incidentally?
I love that microphone. I think it's so cool looking, and it sounds great.
It has that look that this is radio. And you can work it, you know, you can go back. You can go up, you can go on the side, you can talk in here, you can play with it, all sorts of different tones.
Yeah.
But if you talk directly into it just like this, it's got an incredible sound to it.
It's something of a collector's item, too, now that it's been rebuilt.
I share Rob's fascination with these old microphones. I don't collect them.
I like the sound of the new one better than the sound of that one.
Really?
Yeah. I like the looks of that one.
Uh-huh. This has a nice look to it, and it's kind of cool. It's a big, round snow cone. It looks like an ice cream cone.
It has a big head.
Yes.
It's like, and Robbie, don't feel bad about this. I hate to side with Frida on this, but don't worry. Someday when your kids grow up and they say, Dad, how come we have to go to community college? You can say, son, daughter, here's why. Look at Daddy's incredible collection of antique microphones.
How many do you have now?
Now I've probably like 8 or 10.
8 or 10? Cool.
Yeah. And they might not make it to community college. You know, there's lots of good jobs out there, entry-level jobs.
He says that they appreciate and value.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think it's kind of cool just to be talking on one. I mean, I do. I really think it's kind of neat. I mean, it's just...
You also thought it was neat earlier today to take your shirt off and put on the Australian hat.
Yes, I did.
Oh, now you're going to get
the hat and the shirt and the microphone.
Now.
This is Australian Jack reporting. This is Outback Jack reporting from WW2, the Korean conflict, and Vietnam.
Nam Jam.
This is London. I'm just having fun. Lots of toys in here today.
You look good.
Got my peanuts.
And don't forget the cupcakes. Oh,
got the cupcakes from Clem Tran. Clem Twee Twan. Clem Twee Ton Tran.
Real nice sales lady here. Uh-huh. We had her on the air last week. Nice Oriental girl.
Mm-hmm. Asian.
Not a trace of an accent.
No.
Just got married. She works here. Came in the office and they said, I brought something for your wife for her birthday.
That is so nice.
It's wonderful. How many are left?
I only had 3.
Very good.
Rob had 1. Anybody else?
I had 2, and then
you
Clem,
had 2.
Is it Mike? Clem had 1.
That mic ain't sounding that great.
He'll wiggle the plug.
There we go.
You plug in your
changing
other one
microphones.
Again. There you go. Changing back.
But he's keeping,
let me see.
Keep how's that?
Now you sound like the old mic.
Yeah, I don't like it.
There you go.
All right, now we're back to normal.
You got your deduction.
Yeah, it does, you know. He's right.
Uh-huh.
This mic's a little bit better.
It does sound better.
A little more modern technology.
Of course.
Absolutely. But
it was fun using that one temporarily.
That's nice, Rob. That's like someday when Julia says, Daddy, but my teeth go 8,000 different ways. I really need braces. You say, but Julia, look at
her teeth.
Daddy,
fine.
Daddy has the RCA 9800 microphone, which was a... Well, what is it?
It's an RCA BK5B.
A BK5B, used by Edward R. Murrow.
Yes, mm-hmm. Used by Johnny. Hi, old.
Really, Johnny used that?
No, he used
mic.
Without the windscreen, I guess.
He used a similar-looking microphone.
But
that's okay. Daddy, the doctor says that I need special shoes to learn how to walk. Well, now, Robert, listen, you're just going to have to learn to love those crutches. Look at Daddy's beautiful microphone. That's just like the one Bob Barker uses on The Price is Right.
And they would be homemade crutches.
I mean, from mic stands.
Hey, Buzz!
There's a new plastic surgery for people who want six-pack abs without all the exercise and dieting. Dr. Anthony Griffin.
Hi, I'd like that.
Dr. Anthony Griffin, who did the Brazilian butt lift on TV's Extreme Makeover, calls this one the six-pack tummy tuck. He cuts out some fat and skin and tightens the abdominal muscles by sewing them together. In a normal tummy tuck, the skin's pulled down like a window shade, but in this one, the skin gets rolled up on the sides like a fitted shirt. Quoting Dr. G, it looks like you've done 1,000 sit-ups. The procedure goes for 10 to 15 grand. The doc says it will especially appeal to women who've given birth.
Boy, I tell you, and you see, those women on the Swan, the one thing I noticed the most, those tummy tucks, they looked like they were all in agony, all the ones that had the tummy tucks.
Yeah. But
because they really pull the skin down, and then they can't stand up straight,
mm-hmm.
because the skin isn't going with them right now. It's got to stretch a little bit.
Yeah.
Nasty.
But they look great.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe that'll be the next rage, but the current rage, we're told, is the nipple enhancement. Makes them perkier. One New York.
Really? How much is that?
I don't have a price here, but one New York doctor says he's done 6 of them in the last year on women and men. That procedure.
Now, Buzz, why did you have to throw that in?
Well, I will say one thing. Uh-huh. I believe there's no one in this building that would say that I need that.
You're a link.
Not after today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The procedure can be done either with collagen or from just a bit of ear cartilage.
George.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's right. Speak up. Come closer to my chest.
Can you imagine someone starts yelling at you and goes, you're an idiot. You put your hands over your boobs and go, stop it.
Don't yell at me.
You're hurting me.
Oh, I've mismanaged the time. In sports, ESPN SportsCenter will look different tonight, even on regular TV. The show has a new set, new graphics, new format. When it premieres tonight in high def.
High def Sports Center tonight.
Tonight at 11 Eastern is the premiere of that.
Here's a question. Yes. I know we're running out of time.
Is the whole show going to be high def, meaning the highlights and everything?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it just going to be Stuart Scott and Chris Berman in high def?
I think 98% of what you see will be high def.
I doubt they can do the clips in high def, because that means all the coverage of all the games would have to have been gathered in high def.
But more and more of the games are covered with high def cameras, so I'm expecting a lot of the clips will be, too.
All right, good.
And as time goes on, you'll see more and more of that.
Good.
Finally, today, the first in what will no doubt be a series of summer safety tips. Number one, when making your own fireworks, don't use a metal spoon. Consider wood or plastic, but not metal.
Why?
Dateline Northwest Iowa. 52-year-old Brian Kaiser is dead after trying to make his own fireworks. He was using gunpowder to do that, of course, along with sulfur, chlorate, and phosphorus. That much he did right.
Of course he was.
Where he went wrong was he used a metal spoon to stir the ingredients in a metal peanut can. Sparks and an explosion ensued.
Where's my peanut can?
Peanut can.
See, Mike, you can do that. Your peanuts are in a plastic jar.
Actually, a glass jar, a very tall glass jar that's half empty now. Officials say the man also went wrong by trying to do this without a license in his living room. I'm Buzz Burbank. I'm the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No, that's it. We have got to go.
Happy La La Day to you. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 You go home and speak to a boy of yours.
I want to learn...
Where is my card?
I want to learn karate. Crunches. Kill my brother.
Blow out the candles.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.